कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी। जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी, जय गोविंद वल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी, जय गिरिवर धारी, जय गोविंद वल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी, जय गिरिवर धारी, जय गोविंद वल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी, जय गिरिवर धारी, जय यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजना, 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 यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव
जय कुंडली हरी जय राधा माधव जय कुंडली हरी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद प्रिय द्वैता गदाधर शिव हरि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद प्रिय द्वैता गदाधर शिव हरि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद जय द्वैता गदाधर शिव हरि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद प्रिय द्वैता गदाधर शिव हरि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद प्रिय द्वैता गदाधर शिव हरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Govinda jay jay Gopal jay jay
Govinda jay jay Gopal jay jay
Govinda jay jay Gopal jay jay Radha Ramana Hari Govinda jay jay
Radha Ramana Hari Govinda జయ జయ
గోవింద జయ జయ గోపాల జయ జయ
రాధారమణ హరి గోవింద జయ జయ
గోవింద జయ జయ గోపాల జయ జయ
రాధారమణ హరి గోవింద జయ జయ
రాధారమణ హరి గోవింద జయ జయ
గోవింద జయ జయ గోపాల జయ జయ
గోవింద జయ జయ గోపాల జయ జయ
గోవింద జయ జయ గోపాల జయ జయ
రాధారమణ హరి గోవింద జయ జయ
రాధారమణ హరి గోవింద జయ జయ
గోవింద జయ జయ గోపాల జయ జయ
రాధారమణ హరి గోవింద జయ జయ
గోవింద జయ జయ గోపాల జయ జయ
రాధారమణ హరి గోవింద జయ జయ
గోవింద 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 గోవింద
గోవింద గోవింద గోవింద గోవింద
గోవింద గోవింద గోవింద గోవింద
గోవింద గోవింద గోవింద గోవింద
గోపాల 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 గోపాల
గోపాల గోపాల గోపాల గోపాల
గోవింద 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 గోవింద
గోపాల 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 గోపాల
హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే
హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే
హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే
హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే
హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే
హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే
హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే
హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే
హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే
హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే
హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే
హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే
జయ రాధా గోకుల నంద రాధా గోకుల నంద
జయ రాధా గోకుల నంద రాధా గోకుల నంద
జయ రాధా గోకుల నంద రాధా గోకుల నంద
జయ సీతారామ లక్ష్మణ హనుమాన్
జయ సీతారామ లక్ష్మణ హనుమాన్
జయ సీతారాం లక్ష్మణ హనుమాన్ జయ సీతారాం లక్ష్మణ హనుమాన్ జయ సీతారాం లక్ష్మణ హనుమాన్ జయ సీతారాం లక్ష్మణ హనుమాన్ జయ గౌర నితాయ 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 జయ ప్రభు పరాజయ ప్రభు పరాజయ ప్రభు పరాజయ ప్రభు పరా జయ ప్రభు పరాజయ ప్రభు పరాజయ ప్రభు పరాజయ ప్రభు పరా ప్రభుపా 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 జయ జయ ప్రభుపా
జయం సుపాద బ్రహ్మంస పరిబ్రహ్మాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నిత్రేరా ప్రవిష్టోం సుపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రజగాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధా కుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్ కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్ కి మధురపురి ధామ్ కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్ కి గంగమాయకి యమునమాయకి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి ఎవరు ప్రేమనండి. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద. నమామి శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూధరేశం భక్తి వినామి స్వామి వినామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతి వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతి వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతి వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుమ్యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాదిం స్వపదాంబికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సమగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. శ్రీకృష్ణ కరుణాసింధు దీనబంధోచకల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే బృందావలేశ్వరి వృషభానుసురే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. వంశకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీం నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధి హుల్లారవిందాయతపత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపాం ప్రపన్న పారిజాదాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకపానయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతముఖే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గామో దుర్భాగోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుధీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహ వసుదేవసుతం దేవం కంసజానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతటాజయద్రతజల గాంధారనీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవతీ కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేళాకుల అశ్వత్థామాపి కర్ణఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోత్తీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథ సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జన శల్పదైరహరః ప్రవీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మాహురునింద్రరుద్రమరుద స్త్వన్వందిర్యైస్తవే వేదేర్సాంగపదైర్క్రమోపనిషదే గాయంతి యం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థితతద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుఃసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీరాధికాయ నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద
started this 11th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Vishwarupa Darshani Yogam, which is the universal form of Krishna. So up to this point, what we have seen is Bhagavad Gita started with Arjuna's lamentation in the beginning. In the first chapter, what you see is Arjuna's hesitation or reluctance to fight, and the Arjuna's excuses for not fighting the war, the Mahabharata war. That's what is the first chapter. So immediately after that, Krishna starts with the second chapter, where he begins with Sankhyam and Yogam. In other words, Jnanam and Karma. Sankhyam philosophy is very similar, very close to the Jnanamargam. And Krishna first spoke in the immediately after verse 10, you will see from Ashochyananya Shojastam onwards, many about 20-25 verses, Krishna spoke about the knowledge of the soul, the importance of the soul, the spiritual important for the spirit soul and our spiritual identity. That's what Krishna has spoken in the beginning. As soon as he finished that, Krishna switched on to karma, karma yoga. He spoke that in the second chapter. So jnanam was discussed first and then karma was discussed immediately afterwards. Why did he do that? What was the reason why Krishna spoke jnanam along with karma in the second chapter? The reason for that is that the jnanam what Krishna has spoken, in order that jnanam to manifest in a person, first he has to purify his karma. Unless the karma is purified, no matter how much one studies the shastram, the jnanam will not develop in a person. The jnanam will not have its impact. He may theoretically understand many things about the soul, about the material body and relationship with the material nature, and so many things explained in the shastram may be understood theoretically, but in order that this knowledge to manifest in a person, his karma has to be pure as well, which has to be karma yoga, in other words. That's the reason why in the second chapter you find that simultaneously with jnanam, Krishna has spoken also about karma, karma yoga, in other words. So jnana yoga and karma yoga both has been discussed in the second chapter. And at the end of that, when Arjuna asked about a person who, what the symptoms of a person who has come to that state of consciousness, Krishna gave the example of the sthitapratnya. Sthitapratnya means one whose intelligence is steady, who is fixed up in Krishna consciousness, in other words, who has gone through the process of jnanam and karma and has come to the steady state of mind. And the symptoms of such a person was also spoken at that time. Krishna has spoken about that. And he also explained in the same chapter, Krishna explained that what happens to a person who has come to that state, how he will be different from ordinary people. Ordinary people means like all of us. How that person will be different from us. That's what Krishna explains there. Yanisha sarva bhudanam yasya jagrati samyami yasya jagrati bhudani sanisha pashyadomine. That remarkable difference between a yogi who has reached that state of consciousness and ordinary people like us. That difference is explained in that verse. That particularly it is right in the opposite way. That when the ordinary people are engaged in activities, material activities, the yogi has withdrawn everything. Kurmanganiva sarvasha, Krishna says. He withdraws everything like a tortoise himself. And his absorption in consciousness is absorbed in Krishna. That he does not act like the way ordinary conditioned soul acts. And when everyone else is sleeping, Krishna says, ordinary conditioned soul, when he is absorbed in ignorance or in sleep, that particular person is awake. In other words, he is transcendently situated all the time. So, from that examples, you can understand the symptom of a person who is absorbed in spiritual life properly. And then after that, Krishna says there, at the end of that chapter, Arjuna got a little bit confused, thinking that, why did Krishna tell me the importance of the jnanam, knowledge, so high, and at the same time he has also stressed on karma? That relationship was not very well understood by Arjuna. So automatically, the question immediately after the second chapter was over, Krishna wanted to know about karma. Why it is, why are you engaging me in this karma, in this ghastly warfare, Arjuna says to Krishna. Whereas you have stressed the importance of the soul, can I not be spiritually realized through the process of knowledge and be situated in that way? So in answer to that, Krishna has given a very, very elaborate elaborate description of karma yoga in the third chapter. That's what you find in the third chapter, is completely referring to karma, how important this is, karma yoga is. And unless one executes karma yoga, one has no possibility of going further in the spiritual path. That's why karma yoga is the first hurdle that one has to cross through before he goes into further into jnanam or bhakti or anything else. So this karma, no matter who it is, before they come to spiritual life, they have to execute karma yoga. Karma yoga is necessary. And Krishna stressed that point very strongly there. And in order to express why it is important, karma yoga, Krishna also spoke about the karma chakram, he says. And in order to explain that, Krishna spoke about what is known as yajnam. Yajnam means sacrifice. That to develop that sacrificing nature. So life has to become a sacrifice, Krishna says. And yajnam, even Sarve Pradishtidam, everything is situated on Yajnam, Krishna says there. So without Yajnam and sacrifice, this will not go further. One will not be able to get released from this karma chakram or the wheel of karma. Krishna says also there, evam pravartidam chakram. That this chakram, this wheel, what is working, we are all in that wheel. You cannot go out of that wheel. Nanuvarta yadihaya. Why? Akhai indriya ramo moham parthasa jivadi. Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, it is like this, that the conditioned soul, because of its changed consciousness, or in other words, degraded consciousness, is always thinking of sense gratification and is absorbed in the body so much to such an extent, the only way he can release himself from that is by coming into this process of realizing this chakram of karma, or karma chakram, Krishna calls it, evam pravartidam chakram, and from that chakram he has to release himself. So a very elaborate description of karma and karma yogam was spoken in the third chapter. And when that was finished, in the beginning of fourth chapter, you will find that the questions what Arjuna has raised. Arjuna was a little bit confused. Confused in the sense, Arjuna's question was, Krishna has spoken about yajnam, which is very important. Now Krishna is talking about karma, which is what was discussed in the third chapter. But strictly speaking, jnanam and karma is not the goal. That is the important thing. Krishna understood the situation with Arjuna. Arjuna was probably thinking what should I take to, jnanam or karma? But jnanam and karma itself is not the goal. The goal is Krishna. So these are the processes to get us there. Jnanam and karma is the process to get us there. So what happened was, in the fourth chapter, Krishna started talking about this. The fourth chapter is called Jnana Karma Sanyasa Yoga. Jnana Karma Sanyasa Yoga. That means Jnana Sanyasam or Karma Sanyasam. Giving up Jnanam or giving up Karma. Either of them. So Krishna wanted to explain there that in the fourth chapter, Krishna wanted to say to Arjuna that the karma yogam that was discussed in the previous chapter, which was discussed in the third chapter, Krishna elaborated a little bit more, the history of karma yogam in the fourth chapter. In the fourth chapter, Krishna elaborated the history of karma yogam, how it all started from Vivaswan and Manu, Ikshvaku, in that way, how that karma chakram or the karma yogam has stayed in this world throughout history, and how the great kings and emperors followed that process, and also the brahmanas who had, particularly the kshatriyas, they were the ones who were targeted about this karma yogam. Among the two, brahmanas and kshatriyas, who are the particular followers of the Vedic culture seriously, the brahmanas are established in brahmanishta. Brahmanishta means they are fixed up in spiritual consciousness. The kshatriyas are established in karmanishta. They are always active in karma. So brahmanishta and karmanishta for brahmana and kshatriya are important from the Vedic point of view. So Krishna spoke about that in detail to Arjuna, that this is the system how it existed from the very beginning, that the brahmanas were brahmanishta and kshatriyas were karmanishta. And then that system continued for a very, very long time. That whole history, Krishna speaks about that in the fourth chapter. And in order that system to function, how important it was to have the varnashrama dharma. That also is explained in the fourth chapter. You can notice that. Chadurvarnam mayasrishtam gunakarma vibhagasha. That how I created this varnashrama dharma so that this system could stay in this world. That was the intention behind it. So Krishna says that this system is necessary for the following of this different yoga system. Otherwise it becomes very difficult. It will not happen. Generally it is spoken that by nature, our nature is so strong in us when we are born, and that nature is very difficult to overcome. No matter how hard we struggle against it, there is a particular nature in all of us. And whether it is a Vaishya or a Shudra or a Brahmana or a Kshatriya, that nature will come forward in his daily activities and his life also. And that's very difficult to overcome. That's very difficult to overcome. Shastra says that generally by looking at people, they are able to say that the certain characteristics of a Vaishya or a certain characteristics of a Shudra or a Brahmana or a Kshatriya will always be there. The Shudras generally identify with the body so strongly that their individual bodily comforts is important for them. They will find it very difficult to give up the bodily comforts. They enjoy that. Body has to be always, as long as the body is comfortable, they are comfortable. That is the first step of nature of a Shudra. And similarly for Vaishyas, it refers to the Vaishyas' nature is, as long as the family is comfortable, they are comfortable. They don't look beyond their own family. That is the Vaishya nature. As long as my wife, my children, my family is okay, the world is okay. So this is the nature. And when it comes to Kshatriya, he is more concerned about his country and the kingdom or the country where he lives. His attachment to the country is so strong. But above all, the Brahmana looks up higher than that. He sees the happiness of all the living entities in this world. In other words, Brahminical quality is such that he will think about the welfare of the whole world. He does not distinguish between countries and between individuals and races and families in interests. Things like that will not be a calculation in his outlook, in other words. So that difference will come to a person in due course, and that will be strongly embedded in a person and in his nature also. So whatever that is, in the fourth chapter Krishna talks about that Varnashrama Dharmam, the importance of Varnashrama Dharmam, and in the same chapter Krishna talks about the Brahma Prapti, Brahma Arpanam, Brahma Havir, Brahma Adno, Brahma Nahudam, Brahma Iva Tenegandharvam, Brahma Gamma Samadhinya, Krishna says in that chapter. In other words, he says how everything should become an offering to Brahman or to Krishna. And in that way, one will get released from that bondage. So all these things were discussed in the fourth chapter. Then, as soon as the fourth chapter this was discussed, at the end of that fourth chapter, Krishna also said to Arjuna, at the end of fourth chapter, Krishna says to Arjuna, Yoga Sanyasta Karmana Jnana Sanchinna Samshayam Alpa Vandam Na Karmani Nibadhanandi Dhananjaya. Krishna says to Arjuna, Yoga Sanyasta Karmanam Jnana Sanchinna Samshayam. Krishna says to Arjuna, Yoga Sanyasta Karmanam, through karmam, karma yoga process, you purify your work, you purify your activities. In other words, Yoga Sanyasta Karmanam Jnana Sanchinna Samshayam, through knowledge, clear your doubts. Both are necessary. Yoga Sanyasa Karmanam, Jnana Sanchinna Samshayam. That all the doubts should be cleared through spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding, from the spiritual knowledge from the Shastram. So, Yoga Sanyasa Karmanam, Jnana Sanchinna Samshayam. Then, Krishna says, Alpavandam Na Karmani Nibadhrandi Dhananjaya. Krishna says, Alpavandam, one who is situated in a spiritual platform in that way, Na Nibadhrandi Dhananjaya. Arjuna, he is not bound by anything. In other words, getting released from this karma chakram will only happen through jnanam and karma. Both are necessary for that. Karma yoga helps to free oneself, but simultaneously many, many doubts will happen in a person's mind. So in order to alleviate those doubts, Krishna says that jnana sanchinna samshayam, with the help of spiritual knowledge, one should alleviate all the doubts. And then alpavandam, then he should be situated in spiritual position. Na karmani nibadhanandi dhananjaya. Arjuna, then he will not be bound by karmam. So it is an important thing how to release oneself from the effects of karma. All these things Krishna spoke in that chapter of Jnana Sanyasa Yoga, which is the fourth chapter. So as soon as it was spoken in the very fifth chapter, Arjuna got certain doubts. Immediate doubts have developed in his mind. Doubts were like this. Krishna was talking about karma sannyasam, and Krishna was also talking about karma yogam before. Wasn't he? He spoke about karma yogam before, and now he is talking about also karma sannyasam. So Krishna, Arjuna asked this question to Krishna at that time, that out of these two, karma sannyasam and karma yogam, which one is important? This is what Arjuna's question was. Actually, karma sannyasam and karma yogam, as far as result is concerned, it is the same. The result is concerned, it is the same. But what actually happens is, based on the qualification of a person, he should adopt to the process. Majority of the people will, majority means almost all, Krishna says, karma yogam is necessary. Karma sannyasam is impossible to perform. Now, in that particular chapter, in this fifth chapter, Krishna has also explained there one important thing, that just because you have executed karma in this world, you are not going to lose your spiritual consciousness. You won't lose your spiritual consciousness, just because you are executing karma in this world. Similarly, just because you are not executing karma in this world, you are not going to become a karma yogi either. This is the interesting point to note there. This is a very important point, that just because you are executing karma in this world, it is not necessary that you have to fall down from your spiritual consciousness. Number one. Number two, just because you are not executing your karma in this world, it's not necessary that you are executing karma yoga. Because people have this belief that if I do not perform any karma, only then I will not be bound by anything. That argument may come. That, so therefore, I will not execute any karma in this world. In other words, that will turn into a disaster. So Krishna's point is, one should execute karma, but execute as karma yoga. Karma yoga means what Krishna has explained in the third chapter and also in the second chapter. So all through that fifth chapter, Krishna has brought forward very important points in relationship with karma. In relationship with karma. So whole of second chapter, half of second chapter you can say, whole of third chapter, whole of fourth chapter and whole of fifth chapter, Krishna spoke about karma. Karma and karma yoga. If when one has understood these five chapters, these four up to the fifth chapter completely, then he is qualified to perform dhyanam or meditation. Because by then, if one has understood, means one has realized all this, what Krishna has spoken, and properly practiced that in one's own spiritual activities, then there is a possibility that he could move into dhyanam or meditation process. And when he meditates, that meditation will be proper and perfect. Otherwise, all other meditations, what we see in this world, when one is not ready for it and one does it, it does not have the proper result. After some time, either they will give up meditation or meditation will not be giving any satisfaction to them. In other words, that they will give up automatically. This meditation won't last long. So in order to come to that level of meditation also, meditation process, one has to come to qualify for that. And that is what that has been discussed up to the end of fifth chapter. And Krishna says, and when one takes to the Dhyana Yoga, the sixth chapter, how Krishna has explained in that chapter, how to execute that Dhyana Yoga process, and the result of that will be, he will be qualified, and what will happen? The knowledge will develop inside. The knowledge will automatically develop. And that knowledge is called Jnanam and Vijnanam. And it is that Jnanam and Vijnanam that is discussed in the 7th chapter. So in 6th chapter Krishna discussed Jnanam, and in the 7th chapter what is called Jnana Vijnana Yoga. Jnanam and Vijnanam, two things. Jnanam means the knowledge of a particular thing. For example, when we say that the fire will burn, that knowledge is Jnanam. But when you touch it and burn yourself and experience that, that is Vijnanam. So the practical experience of a particular knowledge is Vijnanam. So Jnanam and Vijnanam will come to a person, and that is what is discussed in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Jnana Vijnana Yogam it is called. And that Jnanam and Vijnanam that is developed in this way will develop to a very high degree of understanding of spiritual life, very strongly situated in spiritual life. And therefore at the end of 7th chapter Krishna talked about various things. And he also mentioned there that in the realization of that, Jnanam and Vijnanam, and he develops into higher levels, what Krishna calls that the knowledge of the Adhibhutam, Adhidevam, Adhiyajnam and Adhyatmam, all these will be understood by the sadhaka, by the person who is executing spiritual life. That is discussed, what we have spoken about that, what Adhibhutam, Adhiyajnam, Adhidevam all means. That's at the end of that 7th chapter. So, at the end of that 7th chapter, when Krishna explained all that, immediately Arjuna's question was kim adhyalpam kim karmam purushottama. So Krishna, Arjuna wanted to know, what does this all mean, adhyalpam, adhidevam, adhibhutam, all this, what does it mean? So in order to explain that, the whole of 8th chapter Krishna spoke about the pranava upasana. Pranava upasana means the om the akshara upasana, the letter om, and the upasana for realizing, for through the process of chanting the Om, mantra Om. So importance of Om was basically discussed. Akshara Brahmam, Om is called Akshara Brahmam. Krishna's manifestation in this world through letters. All this was spoken in the 8th chapter. But Arjuna was, it was getting more and more complicated for Arjuna by now. Arjuna could not grasp the, or the found it difficult to practice these things, what was discussed in that chapter. and it was also difficult for ordinary people. And Arjuna, knowing very well, expressed his difficulties to Krishna. And Krishna at the end of that chapter says, Vedeshu yajneshu tapasu jaiva daneshu yal punya balam pratishtam atyedi talsarvamidam vinitva yogi param sthanam ubhayati jadyam. Krishna says to Arjuna, in order to know me, Krishna says, in order to know me, neither it won't help if you study a lot of Vedas. It is not going to help. Nor by performing sacrifices, Vedeshu yajneshu, nor by austerities, by tapas, or by charity. Daneshu yal punya balam pratishtam. But atyedi tal sarvamidam viditva yogi param sthanam ubhayati jadyam. The yogi actually who wants to understand me, he has to go beyond than all these things. If you want to understand me, who I am, Krishna says about himself. And at that time, Krishna also planted the seed of bhakti into Arjuna's heart, explained to him how important devotion is to become a devotee of Krishna and to take complete shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, whereby one can easily advance in the spiritual path. So those things Krishna explained there, and Krishna spoke so powerfully at that point to Arjuna that Arjuna wanted to hear more about bhakti process. That is when Krishna has brought this chapter of Rajayogam. So through Rajayogam chapter, Krishna spoke in detail about the importance of bhakti, importance of bhakti, and called it as the king of knowledge. Call it as the king of knowledge. And throughout that chapter, Krishna presented to Arjuna to take to the path of bhakti, to the process of bhakti. So right in the middle of Bhagavad Gita, you will find the importance of becoming a devotee of Krishna. Arjuna talks about becoming a devotee of Krishna. Arjuna spoke about becoming a devotee of Krishna. So when the bhakti-yoga process was spoken, and when Krishna explained about the simplicity of the process, and at the same time the blissful experience of a devotee in relationship with Krishna, in his Krishna consciousness, in other words, Arjuna was very fascinated by that and wanted to know how to develop that bhakti. So when that question came up, Krishna wanted to explain to him how to start the process of bhakti. And that is how the very next chapter of after the ninth, which is the tenth chapter, Krishna calls it as Vibhuti Yogam. Vibhuti Yogam means the opulences of the Absolute. Absolute is Krishna. So Krishna's Vibhuti or Krishna's opulences were spoken. In other words, to see Krishna in everything in this world, to start with, and how to do that, in everything in this world, to select the best from that. For example, Krishna said, for everybody, there has to have someone as a role model. So for the asuras, Krishna says, Prahlada is a role model. Let them follow Prahlada. And then they all become perfect in that way. So like that, in every species, Krishna has given someone who has got the greatness of Krishna present in them, and that if one is able to appreciate that, or one is able to recognize it, then he will make progress in the spiritual path. He will see Krishna in that way. He will be able to realize Krishna in that way. So what did Krishna say at the end? Yad yad vibhuri mal sattvam srimad urjitame vava tatta deva avagachatvam mamadejomsha sambhavam. Krishna says to Arjuna, yad yad vibhuri mal sattvam, wherever you see anything what is exciting, or what is something very unusually important, or unusually sparkling something, they should see that it is the spark of my splendor. In other words, Krishna says, you should see me there at that time. And this is what is expected. Generally, people have this tendency to think that whenever they see something great in this world, they associate with that person who has got it. But that is not what is necessary. What is necessary is to see Krishna's greatness in that. That's what Krishna says there. Yes, then vibhuti mat sattvam srimadur chidam evavam tattadeva avagachatvam mamadejomsha sambhavam. Mamadejomsha sambhavam. It has come from me, my tejas. Tejas means Krishna's opulence, or Krishna's Krishna's glories, that has come through him. That's all it is. We have to recognize this fact that anything, whenever we find anything in this world, any great thing, any greatness in anybody, in individual, or in the, even in the non-moving things, in mountains, or in the sea, or in the or in the trees, or plants, or animals, or whatever it is, no matter, living, non-living, everything in this world, Krishna says, wherever something greatness is shown, something great which is unusual, extraordinary, then one must immediately see Krishna's glory in that. That's the beginning of Bhakti Yoga, to start with Bhakti process. So that's why he said there, Yadyadvi bhodhimat sattvam srimadurjidam evava tattareva avagachattvam mama tejomsha sambhavam. Mama tejomsha sambhavam. It's coming from me, Krishna says. So after Krishna has spoken that, the which is the 10th chapter of Vibhuti, Arjuna was so much affected by hearing about Krishna's presentation of this, particularly the 9th and 10th chapter. So immediately after that, in the 11th chapter, Arjuna wanted to see that form of Krishna. He felt that if I am qualified, please advise me. If I am qualified enough, please show me that form. Let me have a, let me see that form of Krishna, who is present in the whole creation. Now, what actually is happening is that this is, one has to put a little thought into this. Generally, this universal form is existing there. It's always existing. But we are unable to see it. Why we are unable to see it? Because the senses, the mind and everything is, after a long time of enjoying the senses and sense gratification, our vision is so polluted by the sense enjoyment or by the sense objects. Due to our association with matter and due to our ignorance in us, deep-rooted ignorance which has followed us through several lifetimes, we are unable to see this manifested form of Krishna, this universe, as a Krishna's expanded form. We are unable to recognize that. We see this Jagat, Jagat means the universe, its created form or manifestation of Krishna, simply as an object of sense enjoyment. That is how we have grown up. That's what we have all the time taught ourselves, that this is an object of enjoyment. This world is an object of enjoyment. And in that process we continued for so long. So therefore what happened was we lost our vision to think that this material manifestation is nothing but Krishna himself expanded in that form. That recognition we are unable to accept it. So that is why this universal form is difficult to recognize unless one becomes purified himself. And that purification is through Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness will purify a person and bring him to that level to recognize that this manifested world is nothing but Krishna. Krishna is expanded energy. In other words, Krishna's presence will be noticed by the devotee when he has advanced enough in Krishna consciousness. That's the time when he realizes what this Visharupa Darshanam is or this universal form is. Up to that time, it is only theoretical. So this is a kind of a realization what Arjuna has realized at that stage, that this earth, not only earth, this whole creation is nothing but Krishna. And that stage, Arjuna was brought into that stage by Krishna through the presence of Bhagavad Gita and also through Krishna's special mercy as shown to Arjuna to bring him out of his illusion. We'll come to that later when how Arjuna was speaking exactly the opposite way than he started Bhagavad Gita. When he started Bhagavad Gita, it was Arjuna was preaching to Krishna or Arjuna was instructing Krishna and all the morals he was establishing. In other words, he was saying to Krishna how important it is to maintain the dharma, or in other words, how important it was to protect the women being polluted from the war, or how important it was not to kill the teachers like Bhishma and Drona, and didn't want to gain anything from the war after killing the Kauravas. All this kind of logic Krishna Arjuna has put forward in the beginning, and Krishna realized that in order that Arjuna come out from that, his knowledge has to change, his understanding has to change. What the reality is, Arjuna has to know. So Krishna brought him to that stage, and that is how the 11th chapter had begun. And immediately first thing Arjuna said to Krishna was, Madha Nugrahaya Paramam Guhyam Adhyalpa Samnidam Yatvayoktam Majasthena Mahoyam Vigado Mama. After hearing this, you have given me this special mercy whereby I have, my illusion has gone. Krishna, Arjuna says to Krishna. Then, Bhavapayohi Bhudanam Shudho Vistarashomaya Tutva Kamalapatraksha Mahalmyam Abhijagayam. That Arjuna was now looking at Krishna in a completely different form, in a completely different way he was seeing Krishna and saying to him that I have please tell me in detail about this. Tattva Kamalavatra Mahalpam Abhijagayam, that your Mahalpam, your glories are unlimited. Now I can see what your position is. Up to this time I have thought of you as my friend or as an ordinary person who had great, he never recognized Krishna as the Supreme Personality, and Krishna's really complete glories was unknown to Arjuna at that time. So now Arjuna says, I recognize that. Evameda Dhanartum Alpanam Parameshwara Drashtum Ichami De Rubam Aishwaram Purushottama. Says to Arjuna Krishna that Purushottama, if you can show me, I would like to see that form of you which you have told me that you are present in everything in this whole creation. How does it all work? How does this system work like this? And in order that this doubt came up in Arjuna's mind and the strong desire to see that form, Arjuna expressed at this point, and Krishna decided to open up the whole thing and put it front of Arjuna. So let him have a proper look at it. And that's what we find in the 11th chapter. In this Vishwarupa Darshana Yogam is nothing but Krishna opening up the whole thing for Arjuna and giving him the capacity to perceive that through his limited mind and intelligence. So, Drashtumichami Deirubam Aisharam Purushottama Manyase Idi Rachakyam Mayan Drashtum Idi Prabho Yogeshara Tadometum Darshayatmanam Aveyam. Krishna Arjuna says to Krishna that if I am qualified to see it, that's the way Arjuna puts it to Krishna, if I am qualified to see this, Drashtumichami Deirubam, I would like to see that form of yours. So now Arjuna's mind has changed, you can see there. He's not saying like in the beginning how he spoke to Krishna was different. But now Arjuna is already feeling that, I am just an ordinary soul. I need this mercy from Krishna in order to understand all these things. So recognizing everything very well, Arjuna says to Krishna that, Manyase yadi tachakyam mayadrishtum idi prabho. Yogeshwara tadometam darshayalpanam avyayam. That I would like to see that form of yours which cannot be seen by ordinary people. If you think I am qualified, if you are kind enough to show that to me. In that way Arjuna puts that to him. In answer to that, Krishna says, Pashyame partha rubani shadashodha sahasrasha nana arna idhivyani nana varna pradhenicha Pashya adityan vasun rudran Ashino, Marudasada, Bahuni Adrashta Bhuvani, Pashyasharyani Parada. And then another four verses. So through four verses, Arjuna asked Krishna to show this form to him. And through four verses, Krishna says to Arjuna, now you have a look at me. Pashyanityan Vasuandudran Ashino Marudasada. And all that opulences what Krishna has mentioned in the 10th chapter, Rudra, Egadasha Rudras, the 11 Rudras, the 12 Adityas, the 8 Vasus, and the merits, all of them you can see in my body now. By now Arjuna is seeing in a different way. Ihaigastam jagal krishnam pasyadisya jarajaram mama dehe gudangesha yachanyal drishtum ichasi. That you can see everything in my body now. In other words, Arjuna is slowly changing his vision now. The vision is changing. Chanyal drishtum ichasi. According to that, Krishna is saying to Arjuna that all what I have spoken before, you can see in me everything. Now when Arjuna looks at Krishna, his vision is changed. He is not seeing the 200 form of Krishna there. He is seeing this complete manifestation of the whole creation in Krishna, present there, present in Krishna's body. In other words, what he was seeing there was not that 200 form with the panchajanyam in the hand, the conch shell in the hand, and the chariot, driving the chariot with the whip, while Krishna was standing, is sitting in the chariot, Arjuna's vision has completely changed. Then Krishna says to Arjuna, Nadumam sashase drishtum aneneva sa chakshusha divyam dadangire chakshu pashyame yogamaishwara. Then if you cannot see me with the way as you are today, you will get that proper vision from me.
divyam dadamide chakshu pashyame yogam aishwaryam, by which you will get that vision and then you can understand me, what I am, who is standing in front of you like this. So by now Krishna has already switched on Arjuna to the next mode. In other words, that he was moved into the different consciousness, and Arjuna's vision was completely different at that time. What Arjuna was seeing was not Krishna in that, as we see, premanjana churida bhakti vilojanena sandasadaiva hridayeshu vilogayandi yam shama sundaram achindu gunaswarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. In the Brahma Samhita, Krishna's form is spoken like this. Shama Sundara Majindi Gunaswarupam. Shama Sundara form, holding the flute in the hand, wearing the yellow garment with the forest flowers on his neck and the crown, and Arjuna and Krishna with the gopis, he has Shama Sundara Majindi Gunaswarupam. All that form of Krishna is not what is now Krishna Arjuna is seeing. Arjuna is seeing the form of this universal form of Krishna, where everything is present in Krishna's body. So that realization came to him, and Krishna says to him, I'll give you that special vision, divyam dadamide chakshu pashyame yogam aishwaryam, so that you can see me properly. And then Sanjaya, at this time Vedavyas is shifting us from there to Kurukshetra to Hastinapur. And in Hastinapur, what was happening? Sanjaya was saying to Dhritarashtra Maharaj, to King Dhritarashtra, that Eva Muktva Tvado Rajan Mahayogeshiro Hari Darshayama Samataya Paramam Rupam Aishwaryam. Then saying like this, Mahayogeshiro Hari, the Supreme Personality, Supreme Yogi, or the Yogeshira, Krishna, Hari. So Eva Muktva Tvado Rajan Mahayogeshiro Hari Darshayama Samataya Paramam Rupam Aishwaryam, and exhibited his opulent, this wonderful form of universal form to Arjuna. Sanjaya says this to Dhritarashtra in Hastinapur at that time, who was listening to this, what was going on in the battlefield. That's what being reported there, isn't it? Anega vaktrayanam, anega albhudarshanam, anega divyabharanam, divya anegodhidayidam, divya valya ambarveram, divya gandhan levanam, sarvasharyamayam devam, anandam shalomakam, divya surya sahasrasya, bhavedjuna badutthida, yadibhasa drishisyasyal, bhasastasya mahalmana, Tatra Yastam Jagal Krishnam Bhuri Bhakta Manegada Abhashya Deva Devasya Sharire Pandavastada Tatasa Vismaya Avishta Krishna Roma Dhananjaya Pranamya Shirasa Devam Pradanyilya Bhashana. That five or six verses there, almost six verses, is Sanjaya reporting to Dhritarashtra of what he was seeing, as Arjuna was seeing that the form of Krishna there. So that is what we spoke last Sunday, that Sanjaya was seeing this special features of Krishna, and in spread all over, and except this universal form, nothing existed in the creation at that time. And Sanjaya was reporting that to Dhritarashtra. That is what Pranamya Sarasadevam Kridanjali Abhashada. At the end it says there that Sanjaya says these things to Sanjaya says these things to Dhritarashtra, and Dhritarashtra listened, wanted to know what happened at the Tadasa Vismaya Avishta Krishna Roma Dhananjaya Pranamya Shirasa Devam Kridanjali Rabhashada. Then Sanjaya was reporting to Dhritarashtra of what has happened to Arjuna at that time, because Arjuna is the listener, isn't it? Dhritarashtra was keen to know what was happening between Krishna and Arjuna. So up to so far, Tadasa Vismayamishta, that Vismayamishta means by completely surprised by the whole experience at that time, Krishna Roma Dhananjaya, all his hairs were standing. Dhananjaya was very much in ecstasy. Panamya Shirasa Devam Kadanjali Abhashada, with his head down, bowing his head down, and with folded hands, Arjuna spoke. Now Arjuna is going to speak to Krishna. It's like this, that sometimes when you study this universal form of Krishna, you have to keep several things in mind. Just like as I mentioned before, last Sunday, that the universal form, what Arjuna was saying, is slightly different than the way Sanjaya was saying, because Sanjaya is seeing through Arjuna, isn't it? Arjuna is directly perceiving the universal form, directly seeing in front of him. Sanjaya is seeing as Arjuna is seeing the universal form and experiences of Arjuna.
That is what Sanjaya is reporting to Dhritarashtra. And through Sanjaya, Dhritarashtra is seeing. So first Arjuna is seeing Krishna directly in the universal form. Sanjaya is seeing through Arjuna the universal form. Dhritarashtra is seeing through Sanjaya the universal form. So, like this, an example is, to just to make it a little more clearer, that says, for example, see, there is a wall there, a very tall and long wall, and one person is running from here towards the wall. He has got a stick in his hand, he has got a rope in his hand, he is running. And a lot of people are following him, behind him. They are running after him. He is running towards the wall, others are following him from behind. Now, when they are following him, if there is a picture like that, if you see this picture, how will you read that picture? How anyone will read that picture? It can be read in different ways, isn't it? Picture is independent. It is the same picture. But depending on who sees the picture, different interpretations can come from that picture. Is it not? For example, somebody can say, the man is running. So, could be that he is a thief. He is running with the something and he has got his rope and a stick and all everything. He is trying to jump over the wall and escape. All the other people are chasing him to get him. That could be one interpretation of that picture. Picture is the same. It hasn't changed. Another interpretation could be that the person is running. Maybe there is some disaster following the village where they are all living. So he is the leader who is running and they are all following him. He is trying to escape by jumping over the wall to the other side, and with the help of the rope he is possibly trying to get all the people to the other side. So you can interpret that picture in that way also, isn't it? So the same picture, whatever it is shown, although picture is independent, but the interpretation of the picture can be different, can change. That depends on the person who is seeing that and how his mind is, under what modes it's working, and how his thoughts are going through. All that will depend on that. You could also give another interpretation that the person has lost his some cow or buffalo or whatever it is. He's trying to run after that. Probably he has found that it's on the other side of the wall. He's trying to run over and get hold of the cow or the bull and to put the rope on and bring it out. And these people are trying to help him. In this way, so many ways you can interpret that picture, whichever way you like it. So similarly, when you read here, Sanjaya's interpretation of universal form and Arjuna's interpretation of universal form, maybe there will be a little difference in that. Sanjaya is saying, Arjuna has seen all this in this way and reporting to Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra is seeing everything through Arjuna. And we are now seeing everything what Arjuna has seen or Sanjaya has seen or Dhritarashtra has seen from the book. So naturally our interpretation also will change. We will think, if when you see a picture, oh, this is what it is. If somebody shows us a picture of a universal form, say any printing press or any Bhagavad Gita, a Bhagavad Gita commentator, he prints a Bhagavad Gita with a universal form picture in that. We will take it, oh, this is how Arjuna has seen it, isn't it? That's how we will think, because the picture shows like that. Our normal nature is to accept if it is in a pictorial form. That's why all these computer people, they bring everything into pictures, so that it makes it easier for you to recognize things. So this pictorial representation will develop different understanding also in a person. But picture is independent. That is same for everybody, but interpretation can be different. So Arjuna says, that's why now, from now on, so in 6 verses, Sanjaya told Dhritarashtra what he has seen through Arjuna. But then another 11 verses or 17 verses or from now on, a large number of verses, Arjuna is saying to Krishna of what he is seeing, in Krishna, what he is in. That's what the next 15-20 verses or so from there now on. So we'll start with that. Pashyami devam sava deva dehe savam sada bhuda vishesha sanghan brahmananesham kamala sanastam shimja sarvan viragamsha divyan. So in the first verse itself,
Krishna, Arjuna says to Arjuna says to Krishna that first he glorified Krishna, saying to him that in your unlimited body I see all the demigods, and even including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the great sages and great, great snakes, and all of them are present, and every divine form is present in your body. And who can, completely in shock, Arjuna is speaking like this now. He is in great shock at the moment, seeing that form of Krishna. Anega bahudara vaktanetram pasyami tva sarvadonanda rupam nandam namadhyanna punastavadim pasyami visheshara visharupam. Arjuna is also seeing so many anega bahudara vaktanetram, many many hands, many many stomach, many many stomach, and vaktanetram, and many mouths, and many eyes, and everything, so many, unlimited number Arjuna is seeing now in Krishna's body. Pashvamitvam sarvado anandarupam nandam nanmadhyam napanasavadim. It has neither beginning nor middle nor the end. That means the whole creation, whatever Arjuna sees, is only one thing. That is this universal form. You will see how it happens, because after going a little bit, you will see how Arjuna is seeing even the enemy who are standing there. Krishna is, Arjuna is seeing that as a part of the universal form. He is not seeing the Kauravas, the Kauravas army, which was a lot bigger than the Pandavas army was. They were standing there separately. Similarly, Arjuna's, the Pandavas army was also standing there. But Arjuna will say later on to Krishna that they are all dying within you. In other words, universal form has enveloped them also as well. The, all of them was a part of the, all of them were part of the universal form. You see, all of them are a part of the universal form. In other words, that separately two armies who were standing there, they were not separated from Krishna at that time. They were also within Krishna. This realization Arjuna has got, that he will talk about it later. Kiridinam gadinam chakranandya tejavayasham sarvado deeptimandam pashyamitvam durvirikshan samanda deeptanalakadjudim aprameyam. We talked about this last Sunday, what kiridam, the crown means, what gada means, club means, what chakram means. All Krishna's authority. Kiridam is the, that Krishna's authority. He is the authority. Gadinam, that means the club, to establish justice. One who does not want to listen, smash. Gadinam, chakramanja. Chakram is that representation of karma chakram, in which we are all caught up. We have no freedom, independence to think anything outside that. And pashyamitvam durmarisham. When in this universal form Arjuna saw, he also realized that he cannot act independently. That realization came to him. Also indirectly telling us, don't try to be independent, in other words. Pashyamitvam durmarisham samandat. There is no point in trying to declare independence from Krishna. Diptana larkadrim aprameyam. Anyone tries to change that, alter that situation, will only end up in a disappointment. It's not going to happen. So we are also part of that universal form. That's what we have to remember. Krishna's universal form includes us as well. Nothing is outside that. That is Krishna's glory. That it is difficult to understand that, how we can perceive that form in which everyone is included. And here Arjuna is seeing that form in front of him, what Krishna has allowed him to see. Tamaksharam varamam vedidavyam tamasya vishvasya varam nidhanam tam avyaya shashadar magopta sanadhanastam purusho matomi. Then Arjuna did not know how to glorify Krishna at that time because of the amazing vision what he has at this point. So Arjuna says there, tam aksharam paramam vedidavyam. You are the aksharam. Aksharam means one who has no, any time, who does not get destroyed, stays forever. Tam asti vishyasya param nidhanam, that you are the basis of everything. Tam avyaya shashvata dharmavata, you are the establishment, you establish dharmam in this world. In other words, without you, nothing can work in this world. Dharmam or adharmam, everything, it's from you. You are the basis of all that. And sanadhanastum purushomadame, you are eternal, and that supreme personality you are. This is my opinion. Arjuna says like this. Then, anadi madhyantam ananda viryam, ananda maham shashi surya netram, pashyamitvam deepam udashavatram swadejasa vishwamidam tapandam. So, anadi madhyantam ananda viryam, in this particular verse, is very important in the sense that Arjuna is saying to Krishna, anadi madhyantam ananda viryam, this
unlimited things what I am seeing now in you.
Anandamoham Shashi Surya Netram.
The, even the sun and the moon is seen as Krishna's eyes looking at me. They are the two eyes of Krishna looking at me.
Pashyami Tvam Deepta Hudasha Vatram Svatejasa Vishwamidam Thabandam.
That is the most important side of it.
Pashyami Tvam Deepta Hudasha Vatram.
And this universal form, the mouth of universal form is such, the Vatram. I am frightened of seeing that mouth. Why?
Svatejasa Vishwamidam Thabandam.
By his Krishna's that amazing energy or amazing power that is coming from that form, all the living entities are falling into that mouth, including Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Jayadratha, all the armies of Kauravas as well as the armies of the Pandavas as well. As though the war is already over, that kind of experience Arjuna is getting at this point. And the word that used is so tejasa vishwamidam tadandam, that Krishna's tejas, I don't know exactly what the word meaning is to translate in English, but you can simply say that Krishna's potency or that power that was permeating throughout was such that the whole creation was going through that mouth of Krishna.
Vishwamidam anega bahudara vatranetram pashyamitva sarvadonanda rupam Nandam Namadhyam Napanastavadim Pashyami Vishweshiri Vishwaruva.
He said that before, two verses before. Now Arjuna is saying that and Pashyami Tvam Deepta Hudasha Vatram, the Vatram or the mouth of that impersonal universal form of Krishna was such that everything was falling into that. How? Svatejasa Vishwamidam Tapandam. It is Krishna's tejas that is keeping this whole Vishwam creation going. That is what he wanted to say. In fact, this is the realization what one has to come to know eventually. We do not have that realization. In fact, when we see in this world, every living entity, whether it is a minute ant or a mosquito, right up to the huge whales and the elephants, and all the human beings, in everything, we have to see it is Krishna who is sparkling there. It is Krishna who is the Krishna splendor is coming through all this. Whether it is a small ant or a mosquito, or if it is a large elephant or a whale or a big animal, whatever, lion or whatever it is, in all of them, what exactly that keeps that going and makes us wonder by seeing that? It is Krishna. That's Krishna. It is Krishna that's working there. But we have learned this dividing things into different groups for a long time in our life. And therefore, we have categorized everything into different. And all these false concepts has gone into our head. That where is Krishna? That's different. This is different. That's different. That's different. So like this we understood. But here, Krishna is saying there, Arjuna is saying there, Pashyami Tvam Deepta Hudasha Vatram Svatejasa Vishwamidam Tapandam. Vishwamidam Tapandam, the whole creation is burning, in other words. Tapandam, Tapandam means it's actually getting burned in that Vishwarupam, in that universal, through that universal form of Krishna. Only then Arjuna recognized what Krishna means. Up to that time, Arjuna thought Krishna is just my friend. I can play with him, talk to him what I want. That is all good, but Krishna has another side to it like that. And that form Arjuna is now recognizing. That when we see, this is the universal form of Krishna. When you see the ant, and if you are able to see the eyes of the ant, you have to see that eyes are Krishna's eyes. When you see the elephant's eyes, you have to see they are Krishna's eyes. Similarly, all the eyes in this world, who is activating them? Who activates these things called eye inside for every living entity? It is Krishna who is activating that, isn't it? But because we have no understanding of these things, that Krishna's presence in the living entity is unknown to us, and we haven't developed that vision in us, therefore we do not understand. We think that, oh, the eye is working anyway, I can get it replaced somewhere else. That's the way we look at it. But through this, what is expected of us is to see when anything, any eyes are functioning or any of the senses are working in this world, where did that energy come from? Who is activating that? That's Krishna. That is Krishna. That is spiritual understanding of things coming from that. To recognize in anything and everything in this creation, nothing but Krishna's energy is working.
Pashyami tvam dipta hudashavakram sudejasa vishwamidam tabandam.
Then, as he said before, that the sun and the moon are Krishna's eyes, sun and the moon. And when we say like that, Krishna, sun and the moon are Krishna's eyes, people may think that, well, is that just a poetical explanation, or is it something to give us something to think about? No, it's not like that. The reason for that is that our perception of this creation is such, we are seeing everything through our senses, isn't it? And we all know that how imperfect these senses are. And any knowledge that you have acquired through the senses has no value. That is not considered to be proper. That is not authoritative. It is within the capacity of the senses. The senses have transmitted certain information about an object to us. Say for example the sun or the moon. Some information has been transmitted to our mind through the senses, like the eyes. Similarly the sound, when you hear a sound, whatever the ears have heard, that will be transmitted to the mind. And the mind and the intelligence together make the decision what it is, and then we accept that as the sound. But that is not the precise information of the object. Precise information is not possible to attain through our senses. Through senses it is not possible to acquire. Everything has a different dimension than what we acquire through our senses. And to bring everything under the umbrella of senses is wrong, because senses itself are incomplete and faulty in its own way. That everybody knows. And that's how Vedic scriptures says about this, that four different kinds of problems with us. Therefore, you have to accept the authority of the Shastram. This is why it comes from there. That what are they? Brahman Pramadam Vipralipsam Karanapadam. That means tendency to commit mistakes, everyone has. Propensity to cheat, everybody has. To be under illusion, everyone is. Imperfect senses, everybody is. So when all these four things are existing in a living entity, whatever knowledge is acquiring in this world has not much of a significance. It may temporarily help a person to sustain his life in this world, but that's not absolute knowledge. Absolute knowledge has to come from Krishna himself. That's the only way one can understand. And therefore, it is mentioned here that the knowledge that has come through senses is incomplete, and therefore one has to accept sun and the moon as Krishna's eyes. It has to be accepted like that. Dhyava pradivyodhinam andaram hi, verse 20. Dhyava pradivyodhinam andaram hi, vyaptam dayayena disascha sarvaha, drishtu albudam rubamidam tavogram, logatrayam pravyadhidam mahalman. So, Arjuna is saying to Krishna that Dhyava pradivyodhinam andaram hi, I don't see any difference between the heaven and the Prithvi, earth. Everything is you. In other words, the size of universal form of Krishna was such that nothing else Arjuna could see between the heavenly heavenly planets and the earthly planet. Everything what Arjuna was seeing was Krishna. Vyaptam dayayena disascha sarvam. In all directions it is extended. It extended in all directions. Drishtu albudam rupamidam tava ugram. That it is such a wonderful scene I am experiencing now, Ugram, and it's also amazing thing for me. Logatrayam pravyadhidam mahalman. That the whole three planetary systems, Trilokyam, Logatrayam or Trilokyam, the whole three planetary systems are frightened of seeing this form. So in other words, Arjuna has got that capacity to differentiate now. He has come to that level, he was able to see things properly. It is this discrimination that is necessary. We also have to come to that level of discrimination, which is not easy to attain. How by talking about it won't happen. The only way it can happen is when one purifies oneself through the process of Krishna consciousness. And when one has advanced in spiritual life to that extent, at that time when one gets qualified for that, his visions will change. His vision will change. And that is how it happens. This ability to see things like that, that ability to discriminate like that, that is why you are moved from one consciousness to another consciousness. Sometimes in life also we see this. We have experienced something when we were very young. Something we have experienced. We thought certain things about certain countries, certain people, or a certain way of life. But when you get older, without anyone telling you, you have changed your understanding of the same thing, isn't it? That happens in life often. Only I started thinking about it later on, that life is something more valuable than that. In the youth, many times young people think that about enjoying life, and in that process gets absorbed in so many kinds of activities, mostly sinful activities. But on reflection much later, he comes to realize that, oh, I should not have wasted my time like that. Where did this intelligence come from? Where did this come from? That came because in due course, he realized from his own understanding, and sometimes due to Krishna's mercy also, he realized that something is more valuable in life to achieve rather than simply engaging in sense gratification. So like this, Arjuna also has changed his realization about Krishna in the same way. First he thought about Krishna that, oh, Krishna is this my friend, he is driving my chariot, he will listen what I am telling him to do. But now the whole consciousness has changed in Arjuna. Arjuna is saying, I am not anymore a person to give orders to Krishna. On the other hand, it's my duty to take orders from Krishna. So that consciousness, change of consciousness is what's necessary. And how could that happen? Through Krishna consciousness. In order to make it a little bit more clearer, there are many examples we can give for this. I was reading in a book about Abraham Lincoln, the American president, who was long, long ago a president of America. Apparently in his time, it was since it was a long time back, that he was so well known, but at the same time, as a personality, to look at him, he was not particularly very fascinating to see him. It was not so fascinating. He was not very impressive in his physical appearance. Often they criticized him for that, not being very presentable to the people. But he had a great capacity to talk to people properly and make him feel a great respect for him through his ability to converse with people. So those days, it seems, there was possibility for parents to go and visit him in the White House and see the president, and children were given an opportunity to go there. Nowadays it's all changed. Nowadays everywhere terrorism, so everywhere people have to stand guarding. The prime ministers and the president requires more guarding than anybody else in this world. The very people who are supposed to protect the people, they require the highest protection than anyone else. So that is how things have changed. But in those days it seems that things are a little different. So it says there that from one school, a group of children wanted to go and see him. So the someone has organized a trip. So on that particular day, one father told his son about Lincoln in a very casual way. He told him that Lincoln is not particularly very impressive to look at, he said to him, but you should go and see him, still the schools are, children are going all together. So they all went in a group to see him. So when they went up to see him, Abraham Lincoln called this particular boy to whom his father has told like this, that he was not very particularly beautiful to look at or whatever it is about his form. But Lincoln spoke to him so nicely, that inquired from him so many things, and gave an impression that he is not anyone different than this little boy. And the little boy felt so much when he heard this inquiry from Lincoln, that he is American president, but look at the way he is talking to me, how free he is, and that humility in him, and the way he was able to relate with him, to come down to his level and to speak to him, impressed him so much. He turned around and told his father, who says he is not beautiful? He says. So that discrimination to see things properly and not completely to identify with the body and or to be carried away by others' remarks is something what is required in anyone. That ability to discriminate things properly. That child, out of innocence, he saw something good and great in Lincoln that he could not resist from saying so. So he says to his father that I see him, a great personality. Who says he is not beautiful? Because he sees beauty in his dealings with him. So like this, Arjuna also is seeing now that some impression he had about Krishna before, but now that impression has changed. It's a different impression. He is seeing Krishna as the permeating the whole creation, and the all immediately realizing what a foolishness I have been carrying about Krishna so far in my head. So that is a kind of change that can happen to a person when he comes to realize certain things. Normally in this world, such things don't happen to us like it happened to Arjuna. We may even sometimes change our opinion about something temporarily, but again we are skeptical about things. So it goes on like that. But here, Arjuna's case was little different. This is an experience what he never had before. So when this change happened, it was something which he couldn't straight away absorb it, take it. So that's why he spoke in this way. Ami hitvam surasangha mishandi kejalbida panyareyo granandi sastitutva maharshi siddha sangha suvanditvam sudivi pushkalabhi. That many times when we see certain things, our impression also can change, isn't it? Our impression can also change like that. What is Bhagavad Gita trying to tell us is this, that the in creation, everything, when some things are happening, one should learn to see Krishna's hands working there. For example, when huge bridges are built or dams are built or something extraordinary, when you see people working and creating, human society is capable of creating many things, isn't it? They have created wonderful things in this world. When you see A380, the latest version of the Airbus airplane, we think, oh, what a wonderful thing they have created. But what Bhagavad Gita is saying to us is that, who gave that intelligence to create that? Where did that come from? And who allowed them that by their design that thing could function like that? We should not think that these were all the capabilities have come only from the individuals who are behind it. No. That hands and the brain that created that particular object, A380 or whatever it is, in the modern world so many inventions are going on all the time. So every time when you see something new, which is something extraordinary and beyond our ability to understand, but something fascinating, Krishna says, you should see me, my hands working there. My Krishna's hands are working through them. All those hands are part of Krishna's universal form, in other words. All these personalities who have created this, they are also part of that universal form. It is Krishna who is working through them. Instead of foolishly thinking, oh, they have created this, these engineers created that, engineers created this, who could create this without that thing coming from Krishna? That is what one should recognize. This is the purpose of this universal form. So unless and until our vision changes like this, this experience of universal form will never happen. We keep on reading newspaper, watching the telly and thinking that this is all the great wonders going on in this world. We're thinking, well, who is behind it? That is what universal form is telling us. It's telling us it is Krishna who is working in all through these things. Without Krishna's sanction, nothing will work. Not even a blade of grass, it says in the Bhagavatam. Why did this statement come? Because sages can see these things. Sages know where this is coming from, the origin. Ami hitva surasanga mishandi kejal bhida pranilayo ganandi sustitutva maharshi siddha sanga suvanditvam studivi pushkarabhi. In the next verse, Arjuna saying to Krishna, what's happening is, all the great sages are glorifying Krishna. Great sages are glorifying Krishna. Sura Sangha Nishandi. And the demigods are paying their obeisances to Krishna. Demigods are paying their obeisances to Krishna. Sages are glorifying Krishna. Then, Kejil Bhima Pranjaneyo Granandi. Some people who are frightened, they are approaching Krishna with great reverence. See, this is all in the universal form. Arjuna is seeing this. Kejil Bhida Pranjaneyo Granandi. Sosti Tutta Maharshi Siddha Sangha Suvanditam Suvibhi Pushkarabhi. What else is happening? People pray to Krishna in different conditions, isn't it? In different conditions. Arjuna noticed there, some people go to Krishna with fear. With fear. Why? They will approach Krishna with certain requests. That means when they had certain distress in the world, they had come to Krishna. And after they had paid their respects to Krishna, they go away. They don't stay. They go away. That's also Arjuna is seeing in the universal form. Like us, people like us. They come, they have some purpose. When purpose is finished, we go. So Arjuna is noticing that also in that universal form. And there are some others who are turned their head from Krishna. They don't want to see this form. They can't even look at Krishna. So all these things are part of Krishna. Amihitvam surasangha vishandi kejal bheda pranjaleyo gnandi sustitvitvam mahashi siddha sangha suvannitvam sudhavi pushkarabhi. Everything is in Krishna. Everything is in Krishna. That is what Arjuna is saying there. See, in order to look at this creation, what we have done in our own life is, we have created a wall all around us. And within that wall, we look all the time. We don't want to go outside the wall, look at anything else what's happening outside this. We have closed all our windows, doors, everything, and feel safe within this environment. This Vishwarupa Yogam, Vishwarupa Darshana Yogam, is nothing but breaking, smashing all that walls and windows and coming out from that. That is this universal form of Krishna. And seeing Krishna in everything, that is what his universal form is. Then these windows, what we have put on, and closed windows, closed curtains, closed doors, and this fence, what we have created all around us, we don't want to look outside anything than that. We think all this is all painful. We don't want to look at anything. No, universal form says that Krishna is present in everything. In everything, only one thing exists, that's Krishna. It's Krishna's energy, Krishna's expansions, and what is existing in this whole creation, nothing else. Rudraditya vasavo yejasadhya visheshino maridashoshvabhascha gandharva yakshasura siddha sangha vikshandetvam smidascha iva sarvem. That all those what Krishna explained before, that's again spoken about it. That Rudra, Aditya, Vasus, and Maruts, Gandharvas, Yakshas, Asuras, Siddhasangas, they are all looking at you, Arjuna says, with great wonder and great amazement. They are looking at Krishna. So you will notice here, first of all, Arjuna spoke about everything that is gross. Gross means sun, the moon, those things which are directly visible. And then Krishna is talking about, Arjuna is talking about those things which are not directly seen by us. For example, Gandharvas, Yakshas, Kinnaras, Siddha Sanghas, and Ashwini Devas, Mayuts, all, Egadasha Rudras, Dwadasha Adityas, all of them, Ashtavasus, like that. A list of them Krishna's Arjuna says there. So why it has been spoken like this is, that first bring us into the gross things in this world, like sun, moon and so many other things. And then slowly into the other things like the subtle things, which are not directly perceived by us in our conditioned state. They exist, but we don't see them because of our conditioned nature. So if we do not understand them, don't worry about it, because that's nothing we can do. They do exist and we don't see them. But they are all in Krishna's universal form. It exists. So, but whatever we can see, at least we should recognize, like the sun, like the moon, the stars, and the sea, and the mountains, hills, everything. All that is manifested in this world, whatever we is perceivable by our mundane eyes, mundane vision, that we have to switch on to Krishna. That is Krishna's expansions. So this whole explanation in Bhagavad Gita of this universal form is very vast, in the sense that it's a big area where our mind cannot go in totally and absorb and understand everything. So that is there is a little difficulty there. It's a great, it's a gray area, we can say, for us in many ways, this universal form, because of its vastness. And whole creation, when you want to see through that Krishna, it is also very difficult in our conditioned state. But as much as when one is purified in consciousness and one become advanced in Krishna consciousness, this is how that transition takes place from our current state of consciousness to Krishna consciousness. little by little all these realizations will happen in one's own life.
രുദ്രാദിത്യാവസമോയേജസാധ്യ വിശ്വേഷിനോ മരുദശോഷ്മപാശ്ച ഗന്ധർവയക്ഷാസുരസിദ്ധസംഗ വീക്ഷണ്യേ ത്വം സ്മിതാശ്ചൈവ സർവേം.
ദെൻ മോസ്റ്റ് ഓഫ് അസ്, അവർ ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ടി ഈസ് ഹൗ ടു ലിങ്ക് കൃഷ്ണ വിത്ത് ദിസ് ക്രിയേഷൻ, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? ദാറ്റ്സ് ദ ബിഗ്ഗസ്റ്റ് ഒബ്സ്റ്റക്കിൾ ഫോർ അസ്, ഹൗ ടു ലിങ്ക് ദിസ് ക്രിയേഷൻ വിത്ത് കൃഷ്ണ. ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ദിസ് യൂണിവേഴ്സൽ ഫോം ഈസ് ഡൂയിങ്, ത്രൂ യൂണിവേഴ്സൽ ഫോം ഈസ് ഡൺ. ഇൻ ഫാക്ട് the next chapter of Bhagavad Gita is nothing but Arjuna's experiencing in this 11th chapter what he has experienced, that difficulty, to making it little bit more easy for Arjuna, and therefore Bhakti Yoga was spoken in the next chapter. That's what the 12th chapter is. You see the connection between one chapter to another. Then in this 11th chapter, when Vishwarupam was shown to Arjuna, or universal form was shown before Arjuna, that Arjuna could not relate with that. So immediately after that, Bhakti Yoga was spoken about the personal aspect of Krishna. Otherwise Arjuna will find it very difficult to digest. Not only Arjuna, Arjuna of course had a good opportunity with being Krishna, but what about poor people like us, who cannot even see anything in this world in relationship with Krishna? This is our situation. It is so hard for us to see Krishna in anything. What to talk about the deity, even in other living entities. Actually, it is easier to recognize Krishna in another living being, because that living being is moving, isn't it? And that movement is happening because of the presence of the soul in that body. But our conditioning is so strong that so far we were not able to see Krishna in anybody. But even if a little bit, some understanding had come, is in the deity which is not even moving. And people tell us that is Krishna, so we say yes, okay, that is Krishna. We accept it like that. Otherwise our realization isn't going very far. In fact, strictly speaking, Krishna's presence in the living entity is far more visible to us than in the deity form. But because the Shastram is telling us that is Krishna's Shyamasundara form, or the beautiful form of Krishna is like that, and devotees decorate the deity, worship the deity, slowly some understanding comes. But often people wonder, standing in front of the deity, is this Krishna? Would they not wonder like that? I'm sure they do. That they look at this form and still think that why I'm not having a relationship with Krishna. These thoughts will come. So Rudraditya Eja Sadhyam Vishveshino Maridesha Oshma Vascha Gandharva Yaksha Asura Siddha Sangha Vikshandetvam Smidasheva Sarve. Arjuna is saying to Krishna, all these personalities are looking at you in wonder. They are looking at you in wonder. Why it is all spoken like this? The reason for that is in order to establish in our mind that this whole creation is functioning because of Krishna. We are not accepting that in our mind. No matter how much we tell each other that, oh, it's all Krishna's, we say that. But as soon as we move on, we take to the position, no, what is Krishna? Krishna has nothing to do with it. It's all us who is running the show. But that has to go from our ignorant consciousness. That's what it is established here. I'll give you an example in order to make it a little bit more easier to understand this. Long ago, perhaps 100 or 150 years ago, 150 years ago, electricity was invented at that time. Electricity was invented. But not all the gadgets what we have today. It was just in the early stages of electricity's development. So first, one of the first things that electricity developed into was the bulbs, electric bulb. Edison, I think Thomas Alva Edison, that was his name. Edison was the inventor of this electric bulbs. So you can imagine the excitement they would have had at that time. Today no one thinks about it very big. What's this, an electric bulb? People don't want even bulbs, and bulbs they want developed to so much different things they have developed for the light. But those days when they invented the electricity, the bulb was a great fascinating thing first time. We're talking about 100 or 150 years ago. I don't know exactly when it was. So this Edison who invented this lamp, he worked in industry in the city somewhere, I don't know where it was, but once it so happened, he decided to go to his village. He decided to go to his village. And naturally, he came from those days, you can imagine, going back to your village means it was a special occasion. Today people don't value all these things too much because of the transport facilities. Morning you can be Manchester, afternoon in London, and so that makes no, you think that's only 3 hours drive, what is it so much? We take it different. But those days were different. People didn't have the facility to travel so much. Things were in the developing stage, we could say. So Edison went back to his village and spent a few days in his village that time. So there was a local school, and the children in that local school were making a show there of different things what they have invented with electricity and various other things, mechanical equipments also. So they had this little exhibition they were running at the school. Edison, being himself an inventor, was interested to go and see at the school what the children are doing. Nobody knew about him very much because he was most of the time spent in the city, in the place wherever he has worked. So when nobody noticed him, who he was or anything, out of curiosity was walking around inside the exhibition and looking at different things what the children have developed. So he saw the boys have created a small electric train with electricity. They have created a small train with a few coaches and running on electricity, and they were very excited about it. So Edison went up to them and asked them, what's this, as he said to them. They said to him that this is a train we have developed and it works on electricity, he said. They said to him. So he said to them that, yes, but what is this electricity? Where does it come from? How does it work? The children says to him, that we don't know, what this electricity means and all that. But we know how to use it. We have developed this train because we know, we put the plug in, the electricity comes from there. That's all we know about it. And we have used that electricity and we have developed it, this train. It works with that. That much we know about it, he said. The children told him that. So he says, does anybody else know then? He says. The children said, we'll ask our teacher, he says. The children says to him. So they bring the teacher. So because it was in a village, there's not so many people, they had enough time for each other. So teacher comes in. And so they didn't put forward the same question to the teacher as well. Ask the teacher that the children are telling me it works on electricity, but what is this electricity actually? Where does it come from? How does it work? The teacher says to him that I also have not seen electricity, what it is, but I also know that electricity is generated somehow from the powerhouse, and it comes and it is available here, and the children have learned how to use it. And things like that, with a very vague answer, came from the teacher. So the teacher, out of curiosity, asked him, who are you actually? I mean, wanted to know who he is. So Edison tells him, I am Edison, he said. So, oh, then you should be knowing better than us, he says to him. The teacher says to him, Edison says, I also don't know what it is. He says, I have not seen it either. So, in other words, what is important to remember here is, that it is like that electricity playing its role in this world in different gadgets and different ways through the utilities. It working, the electricity through the lights, through the fridge, washing machine, freezer, television, and all kinds of things. Electricity is working. Krishna is also like that in this world. Nobody has seen Krishna, but Krishna is there everywhere. This is the situation, is it not? So, in order to remind us again and again, that is why in all these verses you will find Arjuna's glorification is referring to Krishna. That Krishna is the force, motivating force behind everything. The one, everything is functioning because of this electricity, Krishna in there. Otherwise it will not work. That's what why this is spoken in this way. Rudraditya vasavo yeja sadhya visheshino marilashoshma vascha gandharva yaksha sura siddha sanga vikshande tvam smida shaiva sarvi yubam mahate bhuvatra netram mahabaho bhuvahu yubadam bahudaram bahudam shagaralam dushtvalova pravyathidastadaham.
that that all these great personalities are mentioned here, but we are not able to relate with them because we have not seen them. Shastra says they all exist. The sun and the moon also exist, that we see them. But when somebody says to us, how does sun and moon, is his eyes, how does it work? That's also a little difficult thing, isn't it? Therefore, in the Shastram also it's mentioned, we have been told who is sun's father is, who is sun's mother is, who is moon's father is, who is moon's mother is. So, through that way, everything is given a personal aspect of it to us, so that we can see there is a personality behind everything. That is why the parents' name are mentioned everywhere. Why Vaswan is the sun planet, and his father's name mentioned also is in the Shastram is there. Moon's birth is mentioned in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam. Who is Chandra? Chandra is also expressed there. So by giving all these wonders in this world a personal conception, that the personality, who is coming, where it comes from, that we can relate with that. Otherwise it will be very hard to understand that sun planet, if it is not a person, Vivaswan, who runs the sun planet, who through whom the sun planet is functioning, and the moon, who through whom the moon planet is Somam, as it is called. So that is how everything has a personal manifestation. And in that way, when you put together, you will see the universal form means a lot. So here, in order to link us with Krishna in that way, the next chapter, the 12th chapter, you will see certain expressions in that chapter is related to the universal form. For example, if you look at the 12th chapter, there is a verse there, verse 15, which says there, Yasman no dvijade loko, loka no dvijade chaya, harshamashvayo dhoger, muktoya sajume priyam. Directly if you take the meaning of that, Yasmano Dujade Logo, Logano Dujade Chayam, Harshamashvayo Dugir, Muktoya Sajame Priyam, that a person who has come to that realization, that is what Krishna is saying there. What kind of realization? This realization, or the realization with the absolute in this particular way, like in the universal form. What will happen to him here? Yasmano dvijade loga, logano dvijade chaya, that he will not feel any kind of enmity towards anyone else in this world. Why? Because they are all part of the same one thing. Isn't it? Yasmano dvijade loga, logano dvijade chaya, that similarly he will not be disturbed by anything what is happening in this world. Two things. One, he will not become an object of distress to others, because he cannot, he think, realizes they are also part of the same body of Krishna. Today we have broken all this, that is our problem, that we have broken up these connections, the links. We have smashed or put walls and windows everywhere, between people and between the countries, between the society, between the races, between the different languages. All, what have we done? We have put walls everywhere, isn't it? That's what we have done, the great human society has created. And in that process, what actually we have done is become more and more blind about the reality. The reality, excuse me, the reality is Krishna exists. And these are all parts of Krishna. How can the hand complain to the leg that you are not a part of the same body? Can you do that? Or the eye say to the ear, you are not a part of the same body, you go, I am separate from you. No, you are part of the same body. So, actually what we have done is, we have made these divisions, division, division, division in all levels in this creation. That's what human society does. So, more and more you divide things, the more and more it gets complicated. First, we divided the whole world into different countries. Have you not? In the name of whatever it is, we have divided. And we have divided so nicely, built walls everywhere, created different governments for different countries, and we are saying that this is us and that is them. That way one wall we have created between the whole planet Earth. We divided like this and set it up. What else have we done? We divided again it in the name of races. One is white, one is black, one is brown, one is yellow. Like this, so many divisions we have again created in Krishna's body. In Krishna's body we are doing all these things with our great intelligence. And then what else have we done? After creating another division, we create thought about what else can we divide. Okay, in the name of languages, we will divide everything into further divisions again. So, then after dividing on that basis, what else? Best thing is to catch the religion. That's the easiest thing to divide people. Cut hold of that and says Hindu, Muslim, Christian, this, that and the other, divide the whole body again. So, like this, on numerous occasions, on innumerable friends, we have divided Krishna. And that's what we are successful at in this division business. There's a beautiful story about that. When India and Pakistan were born, in 1947, when they divided the country into two, the Hindustan and Pakistan, the two leaders of both sides met on the border. That means Nehru and Jinnah. Mohanlal Jinnah was the prime minister, whoever it was, of Pakistan, and Jawaharlal Nehru was Prime Minister of India or Hindustan. They met together at the border. When they met at the border, it so happened there was one mad people, mad house, where mad men are put together, and they are locked up in that mad house. They are locked up in the mad house. So these two leaders were discussing where to draw the border. So after hours and hours and days and months of negotiations, they managed to get this border in between the two groups of people. Something happened in the history. They thought by dividing we'll become safer. That's what the intention was. So when this border was built, and when it came to this madhouse, they didn't know which side the madhouse should go, whether it should go to the Hindustan side or to the Pakistan side. So this issue built up between Nehru and Jinnah talking to each other. So they decided, let's ask them which side they want to go to. So they went up to this madhouse. They're not fully cracked, they were half, you can say, not half cracked. So, but they have not lost their vision yet. They were intelligent enough. So Jinnah says to them that you should stay on our side, because that most of you are Muslims, you should stay with us. Nehru says to them, no, you are actually from Hindustan. You can't be living here for so long. And most of you are Hindus once, and you will now become maybe Muslims, but that doesn't mean you can still be, you are secular, you will be part of us, he says. You know what they said? This is what Nehru said, and that's what Jinnah said. They said, we won't go to either side, because both sides are mad, equally, he said. So this is the division what we create in this world. When we do not understand the Krishna, what is Krishna? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling us what he is. And we understand Krishna in a different way. And when we understand in the wrong way, we keep on doing this kind of things in this world. Divide, keep on dividing everyone and keep fighting in this world, because relationship with Krishna is broken. That is what Krishna is saying. Rudra Aditya Vasavo Yeja Sadhya Vishveshino Marida Shoshovascha Gandharva Yaksha Surasiddha Sangha Vikshande Tvam Smida Shaiva Sarve Rupam Mahate Bhuvatra Netram Mahamaho Bahubahu Uruvadam Bahudaram Bahudamshka Karalam Drishkvaloga Pramvyatidas Tadaham. Then, actually, when one understands Krishna properly, what should he do? This will be the first question to ask, isn't it? Normally, people come to Krishna with their material distress. So that they cannot go beyond than that, because they are stuck there in that material distressful condition. So at that time, the prayers will be, save me from this, save me from that. Why? Again, he has divided between him and Krishna. He has built a wall there. So Krishna has to tolerate all of us in this. All our nonsense, Krishna has to tolerate what we are doing in this world. And at the end, no time, we come to our senses to realize that I am also part of Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. I have a relationship with him. That relationship is not building up. That's what we were saying in the Kundistuti. If you remember in Kundistuti, we spoke about this. Our biggest problem is we have no relationship with Krishna. So long as we have no relationship with Krishna, things will continue like this, in the same way. Nothing will change. But once a relationship is established, you will start seeing things from a different perspective. And that's what's more important. Then here, what it says is that, Yasmanno dujade logo ലോകാംഗോ ദിശദേശയ ഹർഷമർഷമയോദ്യോഗേർ മുക്തോയ സജനേ പ്രിയാ. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദാറ്റ് പേഴ്സൺ ഇസ് വെരി ഡിയർ ടു മീ ഹൂ ഡസ് നോട്ട് ഡിസ്റ്റർബ് ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ബൈ ഹിസ് ആക്ഷൻസ്. ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ്, ഹി ഡസ് നോട്ട് ക്രിയേറ്റ് ദിസ് ഡിവിഷൻ ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ഓൾ ദ ടൈം ബിറ്റ്വീൻ പീപ്പിൾ and disturb their mind in this way, because he is disturbing the world by his divisions. That person is dear to me, Krishna says. Harshamarshamaya dvaye muktavaya sachame priyaha. He is very, very dear because he is liberated, Krishna says. Why? He is seeing things properly. What else? At the same time, Krishna says that that person who does not get disturbed by the divisions of this world. Sometimes we get disturbed, isn't it? That one group of people are fighting with another people, another group. And we are thinking, why are they fighting? What for? One has come 10 days ago, another one has come 20 days ago. And both will live another few years. Both of them have to go. And why still they have to fight? Any person with some sense can think about it and understand in such a transitory position they have to fight like this and waste their human life in that way. So Krishna is saying there, instead of doing this, what should you ask me? That's the question there. And the answer to that, Krishna says there, you all caught up in this karmam, the wheel of karma chakram, or karma chakram, evam pravartitam chakram, that chakram which is working in this world, try to recognize that chakram, the wheel of karmam, and come to me, ask me how to escape from this karmam. That is what is more important than anything else. This fighting each other won't get you out of the karmam. On the other hand, you will get more into the core of the karmam, the wheel of karmam. That's what's going to happen. So Krishna is saying that if what you should ask Krishna, is teaching us also. Nani vartayadi haya aghai indriya ramo mokham partha sajivadi. That jivitam or life is such that to how to free oneself from the bondage of karmam. That is the challenge in front of us. There is no other challenge. How to free oneself from this wheel of karmam and how to escape from this. We have talked about this before when we discussed the third canto in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that the traveling of a soul when it leaves the body is a very unique science, in the sense when it leaves the body, the whole transmigration process till it gets into its next body, unable to free itself from the karma bandhanam or this bondage of karma. This is the most difficult thing to overcome. This how to free oneself from karma. We are creating more karma. We are not able to free ourselves from that. That's what life is going on, what happens in life. So Krishna is saying there, with the higher knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, let the devotees learn how to free themselves from the wheel of karma. Let them not get fascinated by the splendor of this material world and waste their time in trying to establish themselves here. Intelligent person, Krishna says, will learn from me this knowledge, this higher knowledge that I have spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is in relationship with that, it is spoken like this, that Arjuna's eyes were completely disturbed by this, seeing the vision of Krishna in this form. That's what you find in the in the next verse. Nabaspraśam deeptamaneka varnam vyatananam deeptavishala netram drishtvahitvam pravididambaratma vridhunna vindanishamanja vishnoho. Arjuna says to Krishna, Nabaspraśam deeptamaneka varnam vyatananam deeptavishala netram. Arjuna's eyes is completely perplexed by this vision of Krishna. Arjuna is thinking that what is going to happen? I'm unable to control myself. This is the kind of experience Arjuna had. Arjuna's experience was that he was unable to handle it, this realization what he got now. We are all thinking, sitting here, why can't I see the universal form? Here is Arjuna's situation after seeing the universal form. He is not able to handle it. That's what he was saying there. Nabaspraśam deeptamaneka varnam vyatananam deeptavishala netram drishtva hitvam pravyathitam varalma dridinna vindani shamanja Vishnu. That addressing Krishna is Vishnu. Vishnu, why Vishnu is used there? The reason for that is Vishnu means vyapanashilan, one who is permeating everything, everywhere. He is present in everything. That is why he is called Vishnu. The word Vishnu means that who is present in everything. So therefore, in universal form, that is the way Arjuna has addressed Krishna, one who is present in everything. One who is present in everything. Then Arjuna's eyes got completely disturbed by this vision of this. That if one has to learn something from this is that in all these things, as we mentioned before, we are bound by karma. Krishna has no kartrutvam. In everything, Krishna is never bound at any time. If you remember earlier in the fourth chapter, Krishna spoke one thing. What was that? Janma karma jame divyam evam yo veti tatvada tetva deham punar janmam neidhi maham edis arjunaha. What does Krishna mean by that? He says there that one who understands my appearance, one who understands my activities, he is liberated, Krishna says. That means we have not understood it properly. That's what it means. Then if you understand Krishna's appearance, normally people take it that Krishna has appeared like us in this world. Sometimes we, with little reluctance, we probably accept part of what Bhagavatam says about it. But if one fully recognizes and realizes what Krishna's appearance in this world, how it happened, and what actually Krishna means by his birth, or Krishna's appearance, then you understand Krishna's appearance. That is not easy to reach that state of realization. That takes time and practice of Krishna consciousness. Then you will see Krishna's appearance, what it means. Similarly, Krishna's activities also. Why Krishna's activities are different than our activities? Our activities are bondage. Everything what we do binds us. Krishna never bound by anything. That also takes time to understand why Krishna is never bound by anything. We have proprietorship in everything what we do. Kartrutvam. We have kartrutvam in everything. Everything what we do, we want the result. We want the result and we should satisfy by the result. Another thing, we talked about this when we talked about karma, karma yoga. How one thing to another, it rolls on from karma. Karma rolls on to further things. So, we want bhalam, results from the karma. Krishna is not expecting results. Krishna has no kartrutvam. Kartrutvam means no ownership. He doesn't have any ownership in doing anything else. It's done and gone. Nothing, never affected by that. Otherwise, how could Mahabharata war could be conducted like this, the way Krishna has conducted that? Completely independent of anything what happened in the battlefield. Krishna was able to do that. So, this is Krishna's position. And when we become completely conscious of everything about Krishna's ways of functioning, then Krishna says you are liberated. Then you understand, you understood me properly. Up to that point you have to take it that you have not understood Krishna, what Krishna means. All these different things were spoken in order to tell us that these are all the vibhutis of Krishna, opulences of Krishna in this world. These different personalities, what is seen in Krishna's body. Then, Damshtrakararani jatemukhani, Vrishtaiva kalamala sannibhani, Vishona janina lebheja jarma prasida devesha jagan nivasa. Arjuna is unable to control himself with the wonder and excitement what he is going through now. In the next 15-16 verses, it is nothing but experience is put it in words. Damstra akarala anijate niva te nimukhani drishtaiva kala nala sannibhani disho na jani na lebheja sharma prasida devyesha jagan nivasa. Only thing Arjuna could address, Krishna was now jagan nivasa. Earlier he said Vishwarupa. Now he says jagan nivasa. That means the presence of Krishna in the whole creation. Arjuna is saying to him, Please be merciful to me. Please be pleased with me for whatever I have said. That feeling of repentance is very strongly coming forward in Arjuna's mind. And also, seeing that universal form, Arjuna is recognizing that all that fiery nature and what all that was happening within that universal form was actually worrying Arjuna. That Arjuna says to Krishna that my intelligence cannot handle it. My mind is completely shaken and I am totally lost in this whole thing. Prasida Devesha Jaganivasa, O Supreme Personality Krishna, asking to Krishna that you are the Supreme Person, show some mercy to me and be pleased with me. Arjuna says to Krishna, for what reason? And requesting Krishna to change the form. It has come to that state. It is requesting Krishna to change the form. The form was so frightening, this form. Dhamstra karala nijate mukhani drishtaiva kala nala sannibhani disho na jane nilabheja jarma prasida devesha jaganivasa. This is what Arjuna says. That fearful form that Krishna has manifested. And when one sees such a thing, for him a lot of misconceptions will go from his mind, or one who can understand this form of Krishna. I'll give you some examples what misconceptions we have. When we do not understand Krishna, what kind of misconceptions comes in? For example, say you are watching a particular television channel, just like the Discovery Channel, or where they show all these, the life of the animal world in the forest. And our presenters present sometimes very exciting scenes there. For example, a lion is pouncing on a deer, a pregnant deer, and ripping off the deer into pieces and eating that deer, or a tiger doing that. Or sometimes when you see a cat, wild cat catching a mouse or something and killing them and eating that. Or even a snake trying to catch a frog and trying to eat that. When you see such kind of scenes in this world, what do we do normally? Sometimes we feel we have to rescue that living entity from the other one, isn't it? People get this idea that, oh, it is our duty to protect this animal not being, because he feels some compassion for the one who is killed by the other one. Isn't it? That's quite a lot of tendencies. Only because we can't do it, we don't do it sometimes. But normally people have this feeling in their mind that it's my responsibility to protect the weak from the strong. Krishna is saying here, don't put your hand into these things. Don't get involved in that. The material nature works according to Krishna's direction. The deer for the lion or the tiger is its food. Krishna has kept that for him as its food in this world. Similarly, the mice for the cat or the frog for the snake is its food. Krishna has arranged that. Krishna's laws are working in this world. And one particular living entity, Ahastani Sahastanam Abadani Chadushparam, Bhagavatam says like that, Falguni Mahalam Tatra Jivo Jivase Jivanam. One living entity is food to the another. It is not my business or your business to change that role. That is Krishna's role. Krishna has set it up like that. And under Krishna's directions, this whole creation is working, including the frog, the snake, the cat, the mouse, the tiger, the lion, the deer. Everyone is working under Krishna's direction, not my direction or your direction. So me and you, or you and me, shouldn't interfere in that and think that it's my duty to make sure that everything works in this world properly. Krishna says that will be going beyond your limits. You are putting your hands in the loss of karma then. That's what Krishna is saying to us. Damstra karala nijate mukhani drishtaiva kala nala sannibhani disho na jane nala bheja sharma prasida devesha jaganivasam. We shouldn't interfere in that. It is Krishna's action, Krishna's karma that is going on in this world. We shouldn't put our hands into that. This is proper understanding of it. Otherwise, what will happen is that we may do so many things, but then we also have to realize that we are working against the laws of material nature, Krishna's laws. Krishna has created, every living entity has come to this world under certain rules. What has forced that particular living entity to accept that body, and to live in a particular time, particular period of time in that body, and to leave that body? That's all already decided. We don't have to change that. It's not our responsibility. That's what Krishna is saying there. Anijatvam devirashyasya putra sarve sahayavani pala sanyaihi bhishma drona sura putra sarasau sahasmadiyai yadi yodamukhyaihim. Next two verses are together. Why? Because they are presenting one important point. Makrani Vetramana Vishandi Damstagaralani Bhayaragani Bhakke Jiduletna Dashanam Dareshu Sambrishande Chunidei Uttamangehi. That Arjuna is noticing something very interesting now. What is that? Amijatvam Dhritarashtrasya Putra Sarve Sahaiva Avanipala Sangehi. Then Dhritarashtrasya Putra, Dhritarashtra's children, all the Kauravas, they are also coming into this mouth of Krishna and falling there and getting ground inside, all the Kauravas. Not only Kauravas, some of the Pandava soldiers also along with that. And not what else? Dhritarashtra Sevutra Sarvaisaha Avinibala Sangehi. Then who else? Bhishma Drona Sudavutra Sadasam. In the first chapter, Krishna's Arjuna said, how can I fight Bhishma? How can I fight Drona? How can I fight Karna? These were the questions what Arjuna was raising in the first chapter, wasn't it? Now Arjuna is saying here that I am seeing now Bhishma is coming through the mouth and getting ground there. Drona is coming from one side and getting ground there. And Karna is coming from the other side and getting smashed into pieces there. All these things Arjuna is seeing. Krishna wanted Arjuna to see these things. Why? The reason is that Krishna wanted Arjuna to understand that he is not the doer. He is not the doer. And Krishna also wanted Arjuna to understand whether you like it or not, the war is over. That is another important point. Krishna wanted to bring it to Arjuna's understanding. The war is already over. If you want the credit, you can get involved and do it. Whether you do it or not, the war is already completed. This is the situation. So in order to bring this understanding to Arjuna's mind, Krishna has exhibited that universal form and shown him that these so-called Bhishma, Drona, Karna and so many others, they are already finished. They cannot survive anymore. They are already finished, completed. The business is done. And if you want to get the benefit, credit, you can be a part of this. Without saying anything, Arjuna got the message. Without saying it to him, exactly like that, Arjuna got the message by seeing that. So that's what you'll see in the next few verses, how Arjuna's confidence is building up now to fight the war. If somebody kills it for you, it's much easier, isn't it? That's what it is. Bhishma Drona Amijatvam Dhritarashtrasya Putra Sarve Sahaiva Avanipala Sangehi Bhishma Drona Sudaputra Sadasau Sahasmadiyai Abhiyotamukhehi Vatrani Yetiramana Nishandi Damstragaralani Bhayanagani Kejidvulekna Dashana Andareshu Sandrishande Churnidai Uttamangehi. Then what all Arjuna is seeing there is they have gone in and Churnidai, it says, they have been ground into pieces. Who? Bhishma, Drona, Kauravas and all the soldiers. They have all been ground into pieces inside. Churnidai Uttamangehi. And why is it like that? It's not only the Kauravas are going in. No, Arjuna soldiers also, they are also going in. The Pandava soldiers, they are also going in. That means the whole universal form is being experienced by Arjuna. In other words, there was nothing else in his vision at that time. Including the whole Mahabharata war was already happening in the universal form as seen by Arjuna at that time. People have this misconception that the armies were standing there and Krishna is Arjuna is talking here Bhagavad Gita and Krishna is talking something very confidentially to Arjuna and Arjuna is hearing this and something he is seeing in Krishna's body. Well, there's no Krishna. Arjuna now sees nothing except this universal form, except this universe. Good or bad, everything comes from Krishna. Nothing exists outside Krishna. This is the understanding, correct understanding of Krishna. That just for example, Krishna says that if you want to glorify me, if you want to glorify me and you need a mic to speak, who gives that mic? Krishna gives the mic. Now in order to glorify Krishna, if you need a mic, Krishna gives you that mic. Now say for example, if you want to insult Krishna and speak in offensive manner about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Krishna says, I'll give you a mic for that also. You can use another mic, I can provide you that. So whether it is for speaking, glorifying Krishna, or whether it is for offending Krishna, facility is who provides? Krishna provides. So so-called atheist or so-called demon is also surviving at Krishna's cost. He is also not independent. This is the beauty of understanding Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is telling us that within Krishna, all these demonic and divine forces will function. They all have to function. Demons have also come from Krishna. Krishna came Brahma. Brahma came Kashyapa Prajapati. Prajapatis. From Kashyapa Prajapati came Aditi. Kashyapa Prajapati married Aditi and Didi. From Aditi came the demigods. And Didi Devi came the demons. And so like that. So the divine and the demonic forms have all developed within the creation. But the whole creation comes from Krishna. It's not that eternally they are fighting each other all the time. It is within this creation that the divinity and the demonic nature is fighting. And it is this point that Bhagavad Gita is trying to point out to us. That is what we have to recognize. When we spoke in the beginning, what did we say? The body is the chariot, isn't it? The body is the chariot. We are the passenger, the soul in the chariot. Krishna is the intelligence. The mind is the rein. The senses are the five horses. Five senses are the five horses. So what Krishna has spoken to Arjuna at that time is even relevant today in our life. It has to come to our life also and understand that this divine and demonic nature within us is fighting constantly. Divine and the demonic nature is fighting constantly. Sometimes we act in a divine way, sometimes we act in a demonic way. So both have come from Krishna. And unless and until Krishna takes control of this, it is not going to change. We will lose the battle. Just like Arjuna did. Arjuna handed over the responsibility to Krishna and Arjuna won the battle. Through this universal form you can see how that change has happened. That Krishna, Arjuna realized that I cannot handle it, it's beyond my capacity. So when Arjuna handed it over to Krishna, Krishna took it over and then the results were good. Then for Arjuna won the battle and Arjuna succeeded in what he wanted. So the same battle is going on within us also. That's what that Upanishads, when Prabhupada has quoted that in the earlier chapter, if you remember, buddhim tu saradhim vidhi mana pragrahamevaja atmanam rathim vidhi shariram rathamevaja. This is the difference between Upanishads and the Puranas. In Upanishads, it will only tell you the very essential basic things, very straightforward they will put it. If you read the Upanishad statement, it will be very difficult to digest it because it will all look very difficult to absorb to our mind. Atmanam rathinam vidhi, the soul is the passenger. Shariram rathamevaja, the human body is the chariot. Buddhistu sarathim vidhi, buddhi is the charioteer, intelligence. Mana pragrahamevaja, mind is the rein to control the horses. So like this it is spoken in the Upanishads. But when it comes through Bhagavad Gita, we can understand why Krishna was saying to Arjuna that this is what is happening within each one of us. Because through Arjuna, Krishna is telling the whole world to follow this and understand this. That this individual body of the living entity is nothing but a chariot. And this chariot will go on. And this chariot, if it is used properly and driven properly, it will take you to a final destination, Krishna. If the chariot is not run properly, not handing over the intelligence to Krishna, in other words, not taking the instructions of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that is what it means. Handing over the intelligence to Krishna means taking, accepting the Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. If it is done, then the chariot will reach the final destination. That means human life is successful. If it is not done, what will happen is the chariot will topple and it will smash into pieces. You will have to get another chariot, which means another material body. So this great message through Bhagavad Gita, through Arjuna, Krishna is teaching us. Only difference is in Upanishads it is spoken like that. In the Bhagavad Gita, through all these instructions, the same Upanishads knowledge is explained and expanded to our understanding.
That's all it is. That's what it is. That the message in the Upanishads is so advanced that ordinary people will find it difficult to relate with it. So therefore, from Bhagavad Gita we have to learn this, that this message what Krishna is saying through Arjuna to us, that this is what is the final goal for the living entity.
Damshtakarala vaktani netramanani shandi damshtakarala ani bhayanagani kejindulekna dashanandareshu samdrishyande churnegai uttamangyaihi yatha nadhinam bhavam bhuvega samudrameva adimuga adravandi tathatamami naralogavira ishandi vaktranyabhi ujjalandi.
In the next two verses, there is two beautiful examples Krishna gives for the life of the living entity. What are they? First one.
Yatha nadinam bhavam bhuvega samudrameva vimsa dravandi tatha tamami naralogavira vishandi vaktranyabhi ujjalandi.
Then the next one.
Yatha pradeeptam jalanam padanga vishandi nashaya samurdhavegaha tadeva nashaya vishandi loga tava abhivaktrani samurdhavegaha.
So, in the first verse, Krishna says, first verse, Arjuna says there, that yatha nadinam bhavam bhuvegaha. All the rivers, if you watch, they are rushing all the time, isn't it? What are they rushing for? They want to reach the sea, they want to reach the ocean. That's why, whether it is Ganga river, Yamuna river, or any river in this world, you will see they are flowing. Some of them are flowing in a mellow, in a steady speed, but some of them are where there is a lot of pressure, they are seems to be flowing in a rush to get to the sea or get to the ocean. Why do they rush like that? The Shastras are saying they have come from there. They want to get back there where they came from. Where did the sea or the rivers come from? They came from the sea. They have got water, got evaporated, clouds and rain, and then eventually melted and snow melted and all, whatever form it has come, eventually originally they came from there. They want to get back there. So here Arjuna is saying to Krishna,
yatha nadinam bhavam bhuvega samudram eva abhivadravandi tatha atavami narelogavira vishandi vatrana bhujalandi.
What's happening here? Krishna, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, all these great personalities who are in this battlefield standing there, they are all coming one after the other and falling into your mouth. They are rushing actually to get die. That's what Arjuna is witnessing now. Arjuna is witnessing this, that all these great, great personalities whom Arjuna said, I don't want to fight with in the beginning, they are rushing to get into the mouth of Krishna. Krishna is this universal form, that into that mouth and die. They are rushing. In other words, time is pushing them. That is what it means. The time is taking control of them. They don't have any freedom. Vishnu has no freedom. Drona has no freedom. Karma has no freedom. Jayadrata has no freedom. Nobody has any freedom. That is what Arjuna has noticed there. Arjuna is seeing that, how insignificant we all are in front of Krishna. Krishna's universal form is so powerful that great, great personalities are coming and falling into it, and Arjuna is seeing that. Now you can imagine what kind of changes were happening in Arjuna's mind. The person who thought at the beginning something different, and now when he is experiencing it directly, his own realizations are changing. Then,
yatha nadinam bhavam bhuvega samudrameva adhivadravandi tatha tavami naralogavira vishandi vaktran abhivijjalandi.
And they are rushing for their death into falling into. What else?
Yatha pradeeptam jvalanam padangaha vishandi nashaya samurdhavegaha tadaiva nashaya vishandi logaha tava vivaktrani samurdhavegaha.
Yatha pradeeptam jvalanam padangam. A fire is burning, a blazing fire, and the flies are seeing that, and they get attracted to that blazing fire. And what do? Not knowing their own extinction, their death, they are flying into it to get into that. And how they come and die inside, similar into that fire. Similarly, all these powerful personalities and these great kings who are standing in this battlefield of Kurukshetra, they are rushing into your mouth to kill themselves, and they are continuously falling, Krishna, Arjuna says. He is seeing this, and in the next two verses together you can see that what is final words from Arjuna.
ലേ അനുഷ്യസേഗ്ര സമാന സമന്ദൻ ലോകാൻ സമഗ്രാൻ വദനേർ ജ്വലന്തി തേജോഭി ആഭൂര ജഗൽ സമഗ്രം വാസസ്തവോഗ്ര പ്രതപന്തി വിഷ്ണോഹം ആഖ്യാഹിമേകോ ഭവാനുഗ്രരൂപോ നമോസ്തു ദേ ദേവവര പ്രസീദ വിജ്ഞാതും ഇച്ഛാമി ഭവന്തമാദ്യം നഹി പ്രജാനാമി തവ പ്രവൃത്തിം ലീലിഷ്യസേഗ്ര സമാന സമന്ദൻ ലോകാൻ സമഗ്രാൻ വദേർ ജലൽദി അർജുന ഫെൽറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണ ഗോയിങ് ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണ റിലീസ്ഡ് ഹിസ് ഫൈനൽ ഫയർ ഓഫ് ഡിസ്ട്രക്ഷൻ ഓർ ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് അർജുന ഫെൽറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ ഹോൾ തിങ് ഗോയിങ് ടു കം ടു എൻ ദ ക്രിയേഷൻ സീയിങ് ദിസ് വേ ദി യൂണിവേഴ്സൽ ഫോം വാസ് ഫങ്ഷനിങ് bringing everything one after the other into the mouth and disappearing from there. Seeing this, Arjuna felt that has Krishna finally released that fire of destruction when everything at the end of devastation, what happens is from Sankrishnamurti's head, that blazing fire will develop and it will burn the whole creation. And that is when Lord Shiva's role comes in at the time of this devastation. So every universe gets destroyed like that. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam also spoken like that. There are different kinds of devastation, but in the total devastation, that is what happens. The whole planet gets destroyed. So when that happens, there is a fire that destroys the whole thing. So here, what is happening is, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, Yelichya segra samana samanda logan samagran vayar jaralbi tejo virabhu rajagal samagram vasastavogra atanam nivishnoho. That has it come to an end? Is that what you are finally released the whole energy to completely destroy this creation? And next verse, Arjuna says to Krishna, I just do not know who you are. He is so he is so affected by this whole universal form, the experience of universal form, that Arjuna is asking this question, who are you? Who are you? And he also says, Vijyadam ichyami bhavan namadyam nahi prajanami tava pravartim. Your pravarti, your activities are unknown to me. I do not understand. I do not, simply don't understand who you are and what your activities are. In other words, Arjuna could not continue anymore after this to say anything further. Why? Because at this point, Arjuna is saying here that I cannot understand your activities and also, I do not know who you are, and I would like to know who you are. It is a difficult question now to answer for Krishna, because I want to know you completely, who you are. And Arjuna's desire to know Krishna, but Krishna has shown this universal form, and that was enough for Arjuna, he couldn't handle it anymore. He has stopped at that point saying, continuously, all I can do is to pay my obeisances to you, nothing else, which will come little later. Then, what happens at this time? In three verses from now, that is from verse 32, 33 and 34, through three verses, Krishna answers to Arjuna. That is very good, because sometimes it's not interesting only when Arjuna is asking something or Arjuna is saying to Krishna, but Krishna's response is also sometimes to peace, bringing Arjuna into a peaceful situation, because the whole vision of universal form has made Arjuna completely trembling, fear, a lot of emotions inside, completely excited with, on the one hand, the wonderful scene what he was witnessing, on the other hand, the fear that he was experiencing. So you can imagine, all this is happening is Arjuna's little mind is experiencing this. So he was saying to Krishna, I can't handle it anymore. So Krishna realized this, and because Krishna realized this, he felt that he should interfere now. Otherwise Arjuna may collapse there. He may not go further anymore. To such an extent he was excited. So he says here, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Krishna says, Kalosmulo Gakshagal Pravardha ലോകാൻ സമാഹർത്തം ഇഹ പ്രവൃത്താഹ ഹൃദയ വിത്വാം ന ഭവിഷ്യന്തി സർവേ ഏവസ്തിത പ്രത്യനീകേഷു യോധാഹ. ദാറ്റ് നൗ ഐ എം ട്രൈ ടു അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് മീ, കൃഷ്ണ സേസ്, ഐ ആം ടൈം. മൈ പ്രസൻസ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ഷുഡ് ബി നോൺ ബൈ ടൈം. ടൈം ഈസ് ദ ബെസ്റ്റ് തിങ് ടു നോ ദാറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ എക്സിസ്റ്റ്.
Because all of us, with little intelligence, we can understand that our own position in this world is not permanent. Our own situation in this world is not permanent. Something is forcing us to come here, something is forcing us to leave here also, isn't it? Which shows that how dependent we are on this thing called time. And what is that thing forcing us to come here? Time. What's that forcing us to leave? Time again, isn't it? So completely under the control of time, the living entity in illusion is thinking that he has a lot of things to do here and he is responsible for so many big projects going on in this world. That all this is coming from that illusory understanding. A person, Krishna says, kalosmi logakshayagal pravurdhaha, then logan samahatva miha pravurdhaha. If he has realized that Krishna is running the business, Krishna is running the show here, he would not think anymore about it. All you could do is one thing, completely fall at Krishna's feet and say to him that please give me a relief from this. I cannot handle this. This is what a devotee has to say to, nothing else you have got to say to Krishna. That you can't say anything anymore because our position is like that. Kalosmi logakshayagal pravartha logan samahartum iha pravartaha hrida evito anna bhavishyanti sarve and evastida pratyanige shiyothaha. That all that what you have witnessed so far should be sufficient for Arjuna to realize now there is very little Arjuna had to do in this world. In other words, there is very little Arjuna has to do this world. Why? Because it's the same message that is coming to us also. If we think that running this world is our business, then we are mistaken, Krishna says. Actually, it is not our business to run. Krishna's business is to run this world. Our business is to work with Krishna and use this human life to go back to Krishna. That is the business what Krishna has actually given to us. But on the other hand, we have taken it upon ourselves to run this world and then everything goes wrong. That's what Krishna is saying. Kalosmi logakshayagal pravartha logan samahartum iha pravartaha hridaye vidvanna bhavishyanti sarveye vastida pratyanigeshu yodhaha. Everything is in the form of time. I take away. I take away in the form of time. You can see yourself. Look at your photo when you are young, a little boy at school or at the college. And look at yourself today, what you have, how do you look like, who made this change, how did it happen? I didn't want that to happen, but what to do, no choice, you have to accept it. And this is the position with all of us, isn't it? Who did that? Time, and that time is Krishna. Krishna's presence in, a man with some intelligence can see that Krishna's presence in this world, you don't require much proof. People still say, where is God? Where is God? This is God. Then time is God, Krishna is God, and Krishna is there in the form of time. What other proof do you require? Does it require any more proof than this? Kalosmi logakshayagal pravartha logan samahartum iha pravartaha hridaye vidvanna anna bhavishyanti sarveye vastida pratyanigeshu yodhaha. Then Krishna says there, then this particular verse in the Bhagavad Gita is an answer to something what Arjuna has asked in the first chapter. If you look into the first chapter, there is two questions Krishna Arjuna raised there. Verse number, if you look at this, verses 45 and 46. It is reply to those two verses, this one verse. You can see, if you look at this, you will find it. Then, Arjuna's question was, Hobadam Mahalpavam, Mahalpavam, it's a great sinful thing, what I'll be doing, what? Kartam Vasidamayam Yadraja Sukhalobena Handam Sajana Udhyadaha. How strange that we are prepared to kill in this and into and enjoy all this royal happiness. Arjuna was saying in the beginning, Arjuna was saying to Krishna, how is it, how strange it is, he says. Arjuna's realization at that time. That time, Arjuna was the guru and Krishna was a disciple at the beginning. So that time, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, giving his great knowledge of the morals to Krishna, preaching to him, saying to him that, Aho Abhada Mahal Pavam, What a great sinful activity it is to kill all these people.
Kartam Varasida Amayam Yadraja Sukhalobena Handam Sajanam Udyadaha.
Just for the sake of obtaining the kingdom and to enjoy this life, I have to kill all these people. And they want to kill us. What is this? Arjuna says to Krishna like this. This question, prepare to kill each other for this royal happiness. So in other words, at that time Arjuna was thinking that it is him who is killing. Isn't it? Arjuna was thinking he was killing. And in the very next verse, Arjuna says, Yadi Vama Pradi Garam Ashastram Shastrabanaya Dartarashtaranehan Tanve Kshemadaram Bhavel.
Then, rather than me killing them, let them kill me, Arjuna says. Because I am very moralist. I have a lot of, I follow a lot of principles in my life, like some people say. A lot of principles in my life. And my dharma says to me that I shouldn't kill them because they are all highly elevated people like Drona, Bhishma and all that. They are my teachers and they are respectable people. I shouldn't kill them. So what right have I got to fight with them? And let them, better they kill me and I will stay unarmed. And in that way, in the unresisting rather than fight. So these two verses Arjuna spoke here. Answer to that, Krishna's answer is, Kalosmi Logakshayagaral Pravartha Logan Samahartuniha Pravartaha Kadevitvanna Bhavishyandisare Yavastida Pratyanige Yoshiyodhaha. That all those people whom you are saying you couldn't kill, now look at them, they have all finished now. I have done the work for you now. Now, do you want to say anything more now? Have you really changed your understanding now at least? Up to that time, Arjuna was thinking that he has to kill them. But Krishna says, no, the business is already done. You don't have to worry about anything. It's all done. That is what Krishna is saying here. That I have finished all of them. Without you, the business has been completed. At least try to realize that, Krishna says to Arjuna. But if you want the credit, you can get it. I'll give you that opportunity. So you can imagine Mahabharata war, that war was conducted. Prior to the war really beginning, the war, we say 18 days the battle was fought. Even prior to that, the war was over. War was over the first day itself actually. Strictly speaking, when Bhagavad-gita was spoken, the war was over. And the war was conducted 18 days after that, was just a rehearsal of the thing, and once again, for the sake of the world. That's all. So, we'll finish the next verse also, and we will stop there. Tasmantamurtishtesvayalabhasvajitvashatrongumshirajyam samardham mayavvedenhanapurvameva nimittamatam bhavasabhyasajin. That is the most important message in that. Krishna has three verses there. This middle verse is very important. Why? Nimittamatam bhavasabhyasajin. That this world creation has happened because of me. This world is maintained because of me. This world will be destroyed because of me. None of us have any role in that. If you try to think that we are created, we are maintaining it, we are destroying it, then we are to be blamed for that. That is that understanding has to go. Krishna says there that you can't turn this upside down, this creation. It come from Krishna, and Krishna is the creator. Krishna is the maintainer and Krishna is the destroyer. And above everything, Krishna's law functions in this world. Krishna's law functions in this world. If we think that we have the right to alter or change this world in any form, we are mistaken. That's what Krishna is saying. What do we have then? All we have got and right is to do our karma here. That's what the freedom we have got here, to perform our karma. And if that karma is executed properly according to Krishna's instructions, then you can go back home, back to Krishna, and enjoy a spiritual life, a spiritual happiness in this life, and go back home. That is what Krishna's instructions are in the Bhagavad Gita. If you don't take advantage, Krishna says, and utilize this life to change the material world and to adjust things here and to make this place a better place and all, it's not going to work. Very categorically, Krishna is saying there. Everything has already been settled, how this world should go on for another millions of years. And how many millions of years, how the world is carried on, that is also Krishna has decided. Krishna decided both how it should work. when Kritayugam should come, when Trayayugam should come, when Dwapara should come, when Kali should come. And what all should happen in different times, in different circumstances, in different places, in the creation, that's also settled. Everything is settled. Krishna has settled that. All the living entity, the individual human being has got only one freedom, to come here and use what has been given here to go back home, back to Krishna. Nothing else. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll discuss next Sunday.